Leptot on Lamed Vav and Aleph. And the Gemara says when you need the matzahs for Pesach, for the Seder, or for any time on Pesach, you may not use for Yom Kama for the first day. You shouldn't use the Yain Shem and Dvash and Cholov because it's matzah Shira. The rest of Pesach sounds like matzah Shira doesn't bother me. But for all of Pesach, you shouldn't use Mayim Poshrim, lukewarm water. Certainly shouldn't use hot water because it may be Memahir Lahachmetz. It may hasten the chimutz process, and you may not realize it. You think that you have the same amount of time all the time. The Gemara says later, for a shear mill, that's what we said, 22 and a half minutes is a shear mill. So for the shear mill, there's nothing to worry about. They won't become chametz. Where was that Gemara? That was on Mem Vav Amid Aleph. The Gemara says, for the first shear mill, nothing will happen. So that's only if all the conditions are normal. But if you're using lukewarm water or hot water, then it may be, or let's say you're using regular water, but the room is a warm, you have an open oven there, and the heat from the oven is coming into the room. And then you're kneading dough, you're mixing Pesach Tikkah flour, shmura flour, you're mixing shmura flour with water, and you're taking your time until you put it in the oven. But if the room is full of heat from the oven, then it may be memayla hachmetz. It may cause it to become chametz and less than a shear mill. That's why in a lot of the factories where they knead the dough, let's say the matzah factories where they do by hand, so they have fans and they cool off the air. They have fans right where the opening of the oven is, and there's a door that closes it. So they have fans there that the heat from the oven shouldn't warm up the location where they're kneading the dough, because you can't use poshrim and you can't do the lisha in a warm room. So the Gemara has a kasha that there's a din on Pesach you're not allowed to have chametz, and a din on menachas that you're not allowed to have sored dvash. You're not allowed to let the mincha turn into chametz. So how come there's a discrepancy between the two? How come for Pesach it says you're not allowed to do lisha the poshrim with lukewarm water, but by the menachas it says it's a mitzvah? Kol menachas nelo says beposhrim u'mishamran, you'll watch it shelo yachmitzu, that you shouldn't turn into chametz. So why is it by menachas we say it's okay, it's acceptable? Why aren't you worried? And by matzah we are worried. The Gemara says, what's the tushto? The menachas, even though the lisha of the mincha is not necessarily done by kohanim, the Gemara has an expression, kohanim is rizim hein. What do you mean? All the kohanim in the world does rizim. This morning, a kohen got the first aliyah. Happens that he was very zoris. He's one of the boys in the Kohel Elyon. But every kohen in the world is a zoris. Kohanim is rizim hein. It's not necessarily so. It means kohanim and the Beis HaMikdash has rizim. Rashi says over here, why? The first white line of Rashi. Because the Bezn HaGadol is there in the Lishkas HaGos. Bezn HaGadol is on their tail to make sure that they do everything properly when they're makriv all the korbanos in the Beis HaMikdash. So that's why Kohanim in the Beis HaMikdash has reason. It doesn't mean Kohanim all over the world has reason. So the Gemara says, even though the Lisha of the Menachas doesn't necessarily have to be done by a Kohen, because only mikmitzah v'yelach mitzvahs kohuna, only starting from Kemitza. There are dalet avoidas in every carbon that when you shech the carbon, dalet avoidas adam that ma'akiv, shchita kabbalah halacha zrika, and there are dalet avoidas in the mincha that are parallel to the dalet avoidas adam by all the carbonas by the animals. It's a long Rashi, the beginning of the second perek in Saita. Igmar quotes at the Sefta, and Rashi has a long arichas to explain that kemitza is parallel to shchita, because shchita by shchita schulen, when you shecht an animal, so the laws of shchita are how to kill the animal in the proper fashion. Shchita by karbonis is not how to kill the animal in the proper fashion. Shchita by karbonis is to be mevarech el gavoya, to separate the dam, which you're going to be zorek on the mizbech, from the rest of the animal. So that's why kmitza is parallel to shchita. Because when you bring a mincha, most of the menachas, you do a kmitza. You only burn the kaimetz on the mizbech, and the rest is shiori ha-mincha. Shiori ha-mincha is nechad v'zichri kuhuna in the azar. Because menachas are kochi kochim. And kochim kochim are only chatas and oshim as kochim kochim. So menachas are also kochim kochim. What else is kochim kochim? The lechem aponim. Lechem aponim that you put every Shabbos morning. You put 12 lechem aponim, sits on the shulchan for a whole week, then take it off next Shabbos morning. So the lechem aponim is also kochim kochim. The zman is only yom v'layla at chatzos. So when you take off the lechem aponim next Shabbos from the shulchan, the kohanim have to eat it. You can't get in a kohenis can't eat it. Kochim kochim only nechot zichri kohuna in the azari yom v'layla at chatzos. So the kohanim can eat the lechem aponim from last week's lechem aponim that was sitting on the shulchan a whole week, and you take it off this Shabbos. They can eat it on Shabbos all day long. You switch in the morning. You take off the old lechem aponim, put on the new lechem aponim that you just baked yesterday. You always bake the lechem aponim on Friday, unless Friday happens to be Yontif, then you bake it on Thursday. And if it's 2 days Yontif, even the Beis Hamikdash, sometimes they had two days Yontif, 2 days Rosh Hashanah and the Beis Hamikdash. So then they had to bake the lechem aponim on Wednesday. And they put it on the shulchan on Shabbos, and it sits there for a week. If you have bread out sitting on the shulchan for a week, it should really become stale. So the Gemara says that a miracle, the Pasuk says, a miracle occurred. Lechem Cham, Ki Yom Hilokcho. When they took the lechem aponim off of the shulchan on Shabbos morning and they ate it, it tasted fresh, it tasted warm. Lechem Cham, Ki Yom Hilokcho, like when they first took it out from the oven. A miracle, at the end of the week, it was still warm, it tasted delicious, it didn't become stale. When you do kmitza on a mincha, most menachas you do kmitza. When you do kmitza on a mincha, you burn the koimetz on the mizbeach, and the rest is nechel to the zichri kuhuna and the azar. So kmitza is levarer chelek avoyah, to separate the chelek that's going to be korev on the mizbeach from the rest of the mincha that's going to be nechel by the zichri kuhuna. So that's parallel to shchitas kochim. Shchitas chulin, the mission says, shechit v'lo yatzei dam is also good. It's a Mishnah in Chulin in the second parak. If you shecht, it's impossible. It's never going to happen. But theoretically, if you shecht an animal and not a drop of blood came out, so the Mishnah says it's okay. It's a good shechita anyway. That's by shechita's Chulin. But by shechita's kochim, if dam doesn't come out, so you didn't do the shechita. The shechita has to be levarer chelek avoya, to separate the dam from the rest of the animal. That the dam is going to be zorek on the mizbech. And then after you do shchita, then you do kabbalas adam in the klisharis. After you do kmitza, you take the kaimetz and you put it into a new klisharis. The mincha has to be in a klisharis when you do the kmitza. And then you have to take the kaimetz and put it into a second klisharis to be mekadosh the second time. Then just like this, haylochas adam, you carry the dam to the mizbech and then you zorek it. So you carry the kohen has to be do haylochas hakaimetz. He carries the kaimetz and the klisharis to the mizbeach, and then instead he doesn't do zrika, he does haktara with the kaimetz. So there are dalet avodas in a mincha that are parallel to the dalet avodas adam that are ma'akid b'diavad. So the Gemara learns that from a pasuk. Hevi al kohen b'kametz misham al kumtzan mikmitza v'yelach mitzvus kuna. Only the dalet avodas that are parallel to the dalet avodas adam. The avoida of shchita lav avoida here. Shchita may be done by azar, only kabbalah haloch azrika. But by mincha, the dalar avoidas amincha, that are parallel to the dalar avoidas adam, the kmitza, which is parallel to the shchita, has to be done by a kohen. It's done with the hand of the kohen, has to be done with the right hand of the kohen. The lefty is no good. He has to do it in his right hand. He has to be a righty, has to do the kmitza in his right hand. So the kmitza v'yelech mitzvus kuna. So the Gemara says, the tzik and the blila and the lisha doesn't necessarily have to be done by kohanim. Only mikmitzu v'yelach mitzvus kohuna. But still, the Gemara says it's done in the azar. It's b'mokum's reason. Done in the azar, and you have the kohanim watching, and the kohanim in the Beis Hamikdash were all's reason because the Beis Nagadol was supervising everything. So that's the Gemara explained. That's the answer to that discrepancy. There's an Issa Chametz on Pesach. There's an Issa Chametz by Menachas. So how come by Pesach there's a din you're not allowed to do the Lisha B'Poshim? By Menachas it's better. We recommend it. It'll turn out to be a better Lisha. And you'll be careful. Mishamran, you'll be careful. Shalayach Mitzu. Gemara answers, because by true, the Lisha by the Menachas doesn't necessarily have to be done by Kohanim. It's by his reason, but it's not by Makam's reason. Masheni Kane, the lisha by matzis is done every time Dick and Harry. He's going to do his own lisha. So we don't allow anybody. We make a loy plug. We don't allow anybody to do lisha b'poshen. What's lisisa? Lisisa is what we call bleaching. If there's some countries in the world where they still don't bleach the kernels of grain, they don't wash them off before they grind it up and make flour. So the kernels of grain are dirty. So you're going to have flour. The flour is going to be black, brown. It's going to have all colors. We have very white flour. How come white flour? Because first of all, they take off the shell. They take off the shell. And secondly, they wash off all the dirt. So even if it's whole wheat bread, they don't take off the shell, but the shells are washed off. So that's called lisisa. When they bleach the kernels of grain and they wash off all of the dirt on it. So the Gemara says that by Menachos, you don't allow lisisa. If you don't, why? Even though you do allow lisha, b'poshrim, or mishamron, they'll be careful because b'makam's reason, but we don't allow lisisa. Why is there a difference? Why is there a discrepancy between the lisisa? Why don't you say you should allow lisisa and they'll be careful? So the Gemara explains why. Because lisisa, bleaching the kernels of grain, that's done before you even come into the Azara. That's not even done by b'makam's reason. There's no Bez Nagodol watching. There's no Kohanim in the Beis HaMikdash watching. The lisisa will be done way before you even bring it into the Azara. So if by a mincha where we say you're allowed to do lisha b'poshrin or mishamran, but still you're not allowed to do lisisa. So by matzahs for Pesach, where you don't allow lisha b'poshrin, should be the same. You shouldn't allow lisisa. So nonetheless, we pointed out yesterday on the mem omed aleph, the Gemara has three versions of what Rava said. At three different times, Rava changed his mind. So first, Rabbi said that you're not allowed to do lisisa. First, he said you're not permitted to do lisisa on the kernels of grain that you're going to grind up to make the matzah from, because you do lisisa, you may not be careful and may turn into chametz. Then he thought it over and he said, no, it's mutter to do lisisa and you'll be careful. Then he thought it over again and he thought that it's a mitzvah to do lisisa. Mitzvah to do lisisa when? For the matzah shal mitzvah. For the matzah, the first night of Pesach by the Seder, you got to have shmura matzah. The rest of Pesach, you don't need shmura matzah. But Pesach night, you need shmura matzah. So shima from what? So shima means two things. Shima mechimutz, you should be careful, there shouldn't be chametz, shouldn't turn into chametz. And shmura means they baked it lishma. The lisha and the afia was all done lishma. The harvesting doesn't have to be done lishma. That's not called asiyas alechem. The harvesting, you have to have shima mechimutz. So that the Mishnah Berurah quotes a Pri Chodesh who distinguishes, even if you say you need shmur, we're machmir, it costs much more money to have shmur and mishas ketzira. So it costs much more than pshutas. So the shmur and mishas ketzira, the ketzira is not necessarily done by Yisraelim. Ketzira can be done by Nochrim also, as long as I'll be Yisrael watching, supervising, and then they put it into a plastic bag. So in case it rains, the water from the rain won't get in contact with the kernels of grain. So the shmura mishas ketzira is only shema mechimutz. So that if it's done by a nachrin, iswara ehu, that solves the problem. But then the lisha, that's not enough if you have a Yisrael watching. You have to have the lisha has to be done lishma. Mean nesinas hamayim, when you pour the water into the flour. That has to be done when you grind up the kernels of grain to make wheat, to make flour out of it. When you grind up the kernels of wheat to make flour out of it, the grinding up can be done by Nochrim. It's just to be supervised under supervision. It shouldn't become chametz. You should watch that no one's throwing water, sprinkling water all over the place. But the asiyas halechem, that has to be done l'shma. Those are the two parts to shmura, matzushim and mechimutz. And asiyah lishma. So what part needs asiyah lishma? When you do nesinas amayim, that's what the Gemara says, the lametes ovis malachas on Shabbos, so the first 11 malachas on sidur the pas, the way to make bread. So the last couple malachas over there, that's called asiyah alechem. Planting, plowing the ground is sidur the pas, okay, but that's not called asiyah alechem. And planting the grain in the ground, that's not called asiyas alechem. And harvesting is not called asiyas alechem. and grinding it up to make flour is also not asiyas alechem. Asiyas alechem begins when you pour the water in, the sinas amayim, and then you do the lisha, and then you do aricha, you give it a shape, and you put it on a baking tin, and then you put it in the oven. So all of those have to be done by a Yisrael who's a gadol, who's bar mitzvah. Shouldn't allow a katan to do that. They quote that when Rav Chaim Kanievsky was a young boy before bar mitzvah, and he used to go with his father to bake the matzah. So they only allowed him, he was before bar mitzvah, so they only allowed him to scream out, l'shem mitzvah's matzah. That's all he did. But he wasn't allowed to do the nesina samayim, or he wasn't allowed to do the lisha, or the rolling. When you roll it, then you make a shape out of it, then you put it on the baking tin, you put it in. That's all asiyas alechem. So asiyas alechem has to be done l'shmo. So that's what Rabbi says, that on the shmura matzah that you're going to have by the seder has to be shmura from what? So we usually assume shmura because you didn't see the samayim. So you have to watch that you should bake it quickly, you shouldn't wait too long. So Rabbi came up with an einfal. Maybe we don't pass like that. Rabbi came up with an einfal. Mitzvah liltos. You should be dafke, bleach the kernels of grain. And then you'll have to be careful to watch that it shouldn't turn into chametz. So that enhances the shmura. The shmura shouldn't only be shema mechametz. You got to pour in water and knead it. You should do a stunt. You should do something that's a little risky, namely to do the sisa, to bleach the kernels of grain. Yeah, over the generations in the countries where they do the sisa all year long. Whenever you buy flour from the store, it's always bleached flour. It says on the bag, it sometimes says unbleached. Okay, unbleached flour is not going to be white. But if it's bleached flour, it's going to be clean and it's going to be white. So over the years, already from centuries ago, from the 1500s, they say that in the earlier years, the 1400s, they wouldn't have kernels of grain and pour water on top of it to wash off the dirt. They would soak the kernels of grain in water for a couple of hours, and then they would let out all of the water. So the Achrayim said that that's not just a chumrah. In the days of the Gemara, they did l'sisa, they would wash off the kernels of grain, and they would be careful to wash it off briefly, and all the water would go down the drain. It wouldn't sit in the water for a couple of hours. But apparently in the 1500s, 1400s, a little earlier, around then, they started the process to soak the kernels of grain for a few hours and then to let out the water. So then some of them said that that's a real chashash safik chametz. Some said maybe it's chametz nuksha. Different opinions in Achrayim. And what about bleached flour bizman hazeh? Because Meikar Adin, we assume shmur mishas ketzira is only a chumrah. Meikar Adin yoytze with regular shmur mishas lisha. So the Shabbat, you have to be careful that the kernels, the flour shouldn't be chametz. So that's the question. If they had kemach min ashuk, if you have plain kemach min ashuk, is that acceptable? So the Meikar Adin, kemach min ashuk is good. Bizman hazeh also, kemach min ashuk is good. The kemach min ashuk, they soak it in water for a couple of hours in order to wash off all the dirt from the surface. So that's what the Achrayim from the 1500s, a little earlier, about then. So they said then the kemach min ashuk today is very questionable because it had more than the lesisa, because they soak it in water a lot. So that could be, some say it's chametz, safek chametz, some say vadei chametz. In America years ago, there was a scandal. It was written up in all the newspapers, maybe 20 years ago, 15, maybe long, 20, maybe 20 years ago, that the flour companies, let's say you buy a 5-pound bag of flour, so it's supposed to have 5 pounds of flour. So you don't know whether it has 5 pounds of flour. They weigh it. So they would put in a few drops of water. The water weighs also. They put in a few drops of water in such a way that the water will be absorbed by the flour and you won't realize it. So they're not giving you a full 5 pounds of flour. They're giving you 4.999 pounds of flour and a little bit of water. And then they were cheating more. So they put in the maximum amount of water, droplets of water that they can put in the 5 pound bag of flour without the customer detecting it. And they wouldn't really be giving you a full 5 pounds of flour. So the federal government penalized all the flour companies that they caught with this Ganevish shtick. Yeah, but at that time, the Olam realized that it could be that it's chametz dog and gomer. It could be that it's real chametz. If they put in as much water as they can possibly get away with without the customer detecting it. So if they put in droplets of water into the flour and they leave it like that, they just pack it up. And you won't realize it. So it could be that that flour that was in contact with the water was sitting with the water and turned into chametz. That was a big problem. Usually it's not a problem because we have Pesach, everything is done under Hashgacha. But I remember years ago when under the communists, when communism still was ruling the country, Russia, so the Chevron in America would send instructions to Russia how they can bake their own matzah. So they would tell them, buy kemach min hashuk. And then mix it with water and bake it in the oven, how hot the oven should be, and so on. So that was a shaila. Not all kemach min hashuk has the status of kemach min hashuk. Then it's acceptable. If the flour is bleached, so this in Russia, it's still, at that time, 20 years ago, I don't know now, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, 40 years ago, it was still possible to acquire unbleached flour. And then the shaila was, when you have bleached flour, is that lesisa? So mikar adin, it's acceptable, or is that more than the lesisa? You have to find out. Did they soak it for a few hours, or did they just bleach it? They just wash it off. Fine. So this is the Gemara. Okay. So then the Gemara continues. Hamamid v'lamanav. The Gemara has a machlekes. The first brisa had a machlekes Rabbi Yosef Glili, Rabbi Akiva, when the matzah shel ma'aser sheni is good or not. So Rabbi Yosef Glili says it's no good because ein nechal ba'aninus. That's a pasuk by ma'aser sheni. Lo achal to be ani mimenu. You're not allowed to eat ma'aser sheni in a state of aninus. And Rabbi Akiva says it doesn't bother him. There is no such din of ma'aser sheni. It may not be nechal ba'aninus. So Rabbi Akiva disagrees. He holds that matzah shel ma'aser sheni b'Yerushalayim is good. That's how the Rambam paskin. That's the question. But the Gemara says later on, according to Rabasi, that's what we had on the bottom of Lamed Zayin on the base, the last two lines. Amar Rabasi, once you paskin like Rameyah, then Ma'aser sheni Amar Gavoya, so matzah shel ma'aser sheni b'Yerushalayim should not be acceptable. So the Rambam doesn't paskin like Rabasi, paskin like Rabbi Akiva. So that's the question. What happened over here? Rabasi wasn't aware that Rabbi Akiva says matzah shel ma'aser sheni is good. That's a problem. Okay, the Achrayim, the Mefarshim, and the Rambam talk about that. So in the first braise, says the Machlekes Rabbi Yosef Glili and Rabbi Akiva, where the matzah shel ma'aser sheni b'Yerushalayim is acceptable. If you have matzah shel ma'aser sheni chutz l'Yerushalayim, that's not acceptable. That's an iser. You're not allowed to eat l'silcha lecha b'sharecha ma'aser d'gonecha b'sirash chavitzarecha. It's an iser. You're not allowed to eat ma'aser sheni chutz l'Yerushalayim. So the Mishnah says you're not yotze. That's ma'aser sheni behegdush aloy niftu. If you're eating the ma'aser sheni chutz l'Yerushalayim, then it's loy niftu. But if you eat it be Yerushalayim, so that was a machlekes Rabbi Yosef Glili and Rabbi Akiva. Then on the bottom of the daf, the Gemara has Tana Rabbanan, the last five lines. What if you have matzah from Bikurim? The farmer brings the Bikurim to the Beis HaMikdash, he gives it to a kohen, and the kohen grinds it up, and he makes flour, and he makes Pesach Dika matzahs. There's going to be yetzah two mitzvahs by eating the matzah shall become the yetzah, the mitzvah of Achilas Bikurim. Bikurim can be eaten anywhere in Yerushalayim. In Kedushas Yerushalayim, some didn't depend on Yerushalayim as the capital, some didn't depend on Yerushalayim as the makam of the Beis HaMikdash, Lifnei Hashem. So Ma'aser Sheni said, V'chalta Hashem Lifnei Hashem Elokecha, Ma'aser D'Gonecha B'Sirosh Chavitzarecha. The term Lifnei Hashem, the expression, Lifnei Hashem Elokecha, the Minchas Chinuch points out, the expression Lifnei Hashem Elokecha appears in Chumash in different places. It says, V'shochad des ben abaka Lifnei Hashem. So that means in the Azara. You can't shecht in Yerushalayim. And here it says, V'chalto sham lefnei sham alkecha ma'aser d'gonecha b'sirosh chavitzarecha. You can eat ma'aser sheni anywhere in Yerushalayim. Bikurim, chumas yadecha. You can eat it anywhere in Yerushalayim. And then there's a third pasuk, Ntilim b'chatzotzos v'kol shofar ha'riyil lefnei ha'melech Hashem. So the Gemara says that usually on Rosh Hashanah you blow shofar, on a tiny siba you blow chatzotzos. But in the Beis HaMikdash, whenever you blow one, you blow both. So on a tiny siba, you blow you blow both shofar and chatzaisu simultaneously, and a Rosh Hashanah you blow both also. So the Gemara says, and where in the Beis Hamikdash did you do it? So the Gemara said, b'chatzaisu, the kol shofar was in the Har HaBayis. So the Menchas Chinuch points out the term Lifnei Hashem has three different meanings in three different contexts. Sometimes it means Yerushalayim, sometimes it means Har HaBayis. Here, b'chatzaisu, the kol shofar, the Gemara says, in Har HaBayis they did it, and sometimes it means only the Azar. So there you're talking about Lifnei Hashem means Beis Hamikdash. There, all of Yerushalayim Hatika, Yerushalayim Hatika has a lower level of Kedushas Beis Hamikdash. That's the Esek Kedusha saying. The Mishnah in the first Perek in Kalim lists off the 10 levels of Kedushas Beis Hamikdash, that all of Eretz Yisrael has a lower level. Eretz HaMikdash is Mikol HaRatzos, and it doesn't say Eretz Yisrael has Kedusha that Yechayv and Leked Shikrepe Chumas Amarsa Shmita V'Yoyvo. How come it doesn't say that? How come it says such an obscure din? It's on Mikodeshes Mikol HaRotzes Shemivim Imena HaOmer Shtei Alechem. Most people never heard of that din, that the Omer Shtei Alechem has to have been grown in Eretz Yisrael. The flour from Anachas doesn't have to be grown in Eretz Yisrael. It could be American wheat also. American flour, British flour is also acceptable. But only for Omer Shtei Alechem, it has to have grown in Eretz Yisrael. So that's because it's a lower level. All of Eretz Yisrael has a lower level of Kedushas HaMikdash. Then it says, Ayoras HaMekaf is Chaim Moshe Shobinun have a slightly higher level of Kedushas HaMikdash. And Yerushalayim has a higher level of Kedushas HaMikdash. Then Har HaBayis has a higher level of Kedushas HaMikdash. So that Mishnah, Esek Kedushas Haim, means that there are 10 levels of Kedushas Beis HaMikdash. So then when you talk about Yerushalayim, when you get to eating Maaseh Sheni and Bikurim, that Yerushalayim has Kedushas HaMikdash in it. Sometimes you have dinim. The Gemara has on the last staff in Perek Merubah, in the seventh Perek in Bava Kamma, the Mishnah has Asara dinim Nemrub Yerushalayim, 10 different dinim applied to Yerushalayim as opposed to the rest of Eretz Yisrael. And some of the dinim are because Yerushalayim is the capital, the Ir Abira, and some of the dinim are because Yerushalayim is the Makam HaMikdash. Take, for example, Horei Yerushalayim B'chobonai. If you see Yerushalayim in a state of Churban, now Yerushalayim is under Jewish control, so it's considered Bibinyanai. But even if the city is built up beautifully, but it's under Arab control, it's under Arab government, that's considered Bichurbanai. So one who sees the Ir HaTika, Bichurbanai has to rip Kriya. So that's a Mishnah Berurah quote, that's a Machloikas Achreinim. What is that all about? Is it because Yerushalayim is the capital of Eretz Yisrael? And it's you're ripping Kriya over Churban HaMedina. That's how the Mishnah Berurah paskens. That once Eretz Yisrael is under Jewish control, then you don't rip Kriya. And others disagree. Rav Soloveitchik thought not. So he thought Rav Shlomo Zalman, I think, also thought you shouldn't follow the Mishnah Berurah on this. They thought that Kol Zman is no Beis HaMikdash. Yerushalayim is B'Churbana. It's not Yerushalayim as the capital. It's not over Churban HaMedina. It's Yerushalayim as the Mokam HaMikdash. So if you see Yerushalayim Baruch HaBonai, even it's under Jewish control. but there's no Beis HaMikdash. That's considered Yerushalayim Baruch HaBonai. That's a question. Someone asked me last week. I was giving a shiur about Hilchas Tzedokas. On Shulchan Aruch it says, if they take care of Ani Yircha, first you have to take care of Aniim and your family. First, from your father's side of the family, then take care from the mother's side of the family. And if you're already taken care, no one in the family, immediate family, needs any tzedakah, then you give to Aniye Yircha, and then you give to Aniim, the rest of the world. So Aniye Eretz Yisrael take precedence. And then it says Aniye Yerushalayim take precedence over the Aniim and the rest of Eretz Yisrael. What does it mean it takes precedence? So somebody wrote a whole sefer. He thought it's like Kedima. There are Kedimas in Tzedakah. So some Talmud Chacham wrote a sefer. He thought it's like you have to put the Shal Yadam before the Shal Rosh. So he thought it means which check they make out first. They make out this check first, make out that check first. Rav Moshe Feinstein doesn't say like that. Rav Moshe quotes the Pischei Tshuva on Yeridei Hilchot Tzedakah. Kedima means that you give more money to them. Let's say from my father's side, if I would have Aniyim, if I would have Aniyim from my father's side, I earn so much money every year, and I can give so much money for tzedakah. So from the amount of money that I'm going to give for tzedakah, how much should I give to Aniyei Mishpachtecha? So if it's my father's Mishpacha, I have to give up until two-thirds. That's what Rav Moshe says, two-thirds and one-third. Others say 3/4 and 1/4. Moshe says 2/3 and 1/3. So you have to give up until 2/3 of the full amount of tzedakah that you're going to give. You have to give to your father's relatives. Let's say my father said they don't need 2/3. They need $1,000 every year. They don't need anything. My father said everybody's doing well. They're not asking me for any help. So then I have to give up until 2/3 of the remaining money to the relatives on my mother's side. My mother's side, my father's side, nobody needs. And you have to give up until 2/3 to Aniyei Ircha. And then if you took care of Aniyei Ircha, then you have to give up until 2/3 to Aniyei Yerushalayim. You have to take, and then after probably Aniyei Yerushalayim, they'll probably need the whole 2/3. They'll need the full 2/3 of what's left. They have to give into Aniyei Mishpachtecha. And then you give 2/3 of what's left after that to Aniyim and the rest of Eretz Yisrael. Then you give to the rest of the Aniyim and the world. So the Kedima doesn't mean which check they make out first and which check they make out second. It's not that kind of a Kedima. You should do Shal Yad before Shal Rosh. Doesn't mean that Kedima. What mitzvah should you do? Torah v'sheinah Torah, Torah kodem. You got to do both mitzvahs. Which one do you do first? Which one do you do second? No. Kedima means you give them more money. You give up until 2/3 of the full amount that you have to the first tzedakah. And if there's anything left, then you give 2/3 to the next Kedima, then 2/3 to the next Kedima. I thought someone wrote a sefer, he thought that Kedima means which check you make out first. I don't think that's correct. I don't think it matters which check you make out first. So let's see again. So at the bottom of the Amud, you have Rabbi Yosef Glili and Rabbi Akiva. Both sound like they're saying the same thing, but they're arguing, how do you know that the din is so? Then the Gemara says Rabbi Akiva backed out, and he doesn't agree with Rabbi Yosef Glili. So they're talking about Maaseh Sheni shall be kurim. So Rabbi Yosef Glili holds matzah shall be kurim. I brought the bikurim to Yerushalayim. I gave it to the kohen. The kohen grinds it up. He makes flour, and he wants to make matzah from it to eat the matzah leil haseder to fulfill the two mitzvahs simultaneously: the mitzvah of achilas bikurim in Yerushalayim and the mitzvah of eating matzah. So Rabbi Yosef Glili says it's a tarta de sasri. Since you need afias hamatzah lishma, and this matzah is bikurim, and bikurim is an enecha b'chol mashabos, and it says b'chol mashvasechem tochlo matzahs, so the two mitzvahs are incommensurate. You can't blend them in together. It doesn't make sense. According to Rabbi Yosef Glili, it doesn't make sense. I'm going to bake it l'shem mitzvahs matzah. How can it be chal mitzvahs matzah on this? This is the bikurim. Bikurim has to be it's a tata de sasra. Why didn't he say this? Why did Rabbi Yosef Glili need a new explanation? He said before, whatever you can eat, baninus. Lechemoni means mishanecha baninus, even though it's written only with an ayin, with an olive, but you darshan it as if it were written with an olive. So just like you need mishanecha baninus to the exclusion of matzah shal maaseh sheni, should have said the same over here. Matzah shall be kurim is an echad banina. So Gemara says on Amud Beis, oh, that's a machlokes in the Mishnah bikurim between Rab Shimon and the Chachamim. So that's what we mentioned yesterday, that bikurim is a hybrid of Maaseh Sheni and Truma. So the question is it a hybrid? So just like Maaseh Sheni is an echad banina, so today bikurim is an echad banina. So they say no, it's basically Truma with a little bit Maaseh Sheni. That you have to eat it in Yerushalayim, but it doesn't have all the dinam on Maaseh Sheni, that it's also to be eaten baninas. So that's a machlekes. The Gemara says on Amud Beis, that's machlekes of Shimon and the Chachamim and the Mishnah and Bikurim. So Reb Shimon, the Rabbi Yehi Aglili, came up with a new reason why matzah shal bikurim is not acceptable, because en anecha b'chol moshesechem. Why didn't he say the reason that he gave before by matzah shal Maaseh Sheni? That's saying an echad baninus. Apparently, he thinks that it is an echad baninus. Fine. So Rabbi Yosef Glili says you're not matzah. You're not yotze with matzah shel maaseh sheni. That's the first brisa. You're not yotze matzah shel bikurim. And Rabbi Akiva, the way it says in the brisa, Rabbi Akiva also agrees with him aloch al maaseh, but for a different reason. The matzah samram yachlu is written in the pasuk one mitzvah next to the other one. So you darshan a hekesh. Whenever you have two dinim written in the same pasuk, I treat it, that's called a hekesh. If you have two dinim written and two psukim that are smuchim zelazeh, two psukim that are adjacent, that's called smuchim. And smuchim is a machloke satanoim. And we paskin in the beginning of Yivam, is daf dalid, we paskin that you only darshan smuchim and mishnah Torah in Chumash Dvarim. This is not a Chumash Dvarim. This is in Chumash Shmos. Matzah samraim yochluhu. that the matzah is written next to mor. So this is a hekesh, the two dinim written in the same pasuk. A matzah samarim yachlu. So Rabbi Akiva starts off by saying it's a hekesh. Ma mor sheina bikurim. Mor is not from the shibas aminim, so it can't be bikurim. It's a bitter herbs. A matzah sheina bikurim. Feg di gemara. Ima mor sheina mina bikurim. Why not darshan the hekesh like this? Maror is not at all from the Shivas Aminim. So maybe af matzah shem b'minim bikurim. Maybe matzah is only good if it's not from the Shivas Aminim. So then otzi, I should exclude even chita mesorim sheish b'minim bikurim. So then what? So if you're going to exclude chita mesorim, so how are you going to make matzah? That's what Tosis says. According to the Gemara's Havaminim. So the Gemara says, you're right, Rabbi Kiva backed out. He doesn't hold from this hekesh. He doesn't darshan the hekesh matzis and merarim yachlu. That just like morer is not a min, morer is not from the shivas aminim. So too matzah can't be from the shivas aminim. He backed out from that. So what does he hold? So he holds that what, that matzah shall be kur miyoyotze. Or maybe he agrees with Rabbi Yisrael Glili that you're not yotze because of nechem b'chon mashvasechem. So that's what the Gemara says. Rabbi Akiva backed out, then he agrees with Rabbi Yosef Glili. Not that he agrees halacha l'maaseh v'lav mitameh for a different reason, because of the hekesh. He doesn't hold from the hekesh at all. He agrees with Rabbi Yosef Glili that matzah should be kurim is not good because ein enechal b'chol mashvasechem. No, so once you have ein enechal b'chol mashvasechem, so why did Rabbi Yosef Glili need a different reason by maaseh sheni? Should he say maaseh sheni is not good also because only enechal b'Yerushalayim? It's not enechal b'chol mashvasechem. So the Gemara asks that kasha. Once Rabbi Yosef Glili says that matzah shal bikurim is not acceptable because not necha b'chol moshavos, so you should have said matzah shal matzah sheni is also the same thing. It's not necha b'chol moshavos. The Gemara says no. Kidei Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar said, why should matzah shal matzah sheni be considered ein necha b'chol moshavos? Kozman, you didn't bring the Maaseh Sheni into Yerushalayim yet. Maaseh Sheni chutz l'Yerushalayim. So that for sure you're not yotze. You're eating it be'isser. That's the Mishnah. Maaseh Sheni be'hegdush aloi niftu. You're not yotze. He's talking, he took the Maaseh Sheni into Yerushalayim. So he took it into Yerushalayim. What's the din? So the Chumash says that you can be paid in Maaseh Sheni be'richuk makam. Kirchak mink ha'machum ki lo suchal seisi ki v'rechuk ha'shem alakecha. So the Gemara has the expression that Maaseh Sheni can be nivde berichuk makom, but not bekirav makom. Means if the Maaseh Sheni is already brought into Yerushalayim, then you can't be poided in Yerushalayim. It can only be poided in Maaseh Sheni chutz l'Yerushalayim. How far away is richuk makom? How many miles away? So the Gemara says in Makkos, even psi achas, he's one step out of Yerushalayim. Gemara even have a case. The fella has a hobo. Has a pole and he has a bag with food in it, Maaseh Sheni, and the hobo entered Yerushalayim and the bag with the Maaseh Sheni chutz l'Yerushalayim. He's in Yerushalayim already, but the Maaseh Sheni is mamish psi achas chutz l'chayma. One step out, Gemara said that's called richuk makom, and you can be paid in the Maaseh Sheni. Even though the person is being paid, already stepped into Yerushalayim, but he's carrying this long stick, and the Maaseh Sheni is on the bag in the end of the stick. Maaseh Sheni didn't enter Yerushalayim yet. What if the Maaseh Sheni was brought into Yerushalayim? So he can't be put in Yerushalayim. It's just not chal. Pinyan is not chal. So I'll take the Maaseh Sheni out of Yerushalayim and then I'll be put in Berichuk Mokam. So that's called Mechitza Liklot. He said, Mechitza Le'achol. The din is that you can only eat Maaseh Sheni, Tocha Mechitzas, Tocha Ir in Yerushalayim. That's a din deraisa. That's the Gemara, the last daf in Sanhedrin. Mechitza lechol is a din deraisa. You can only eat Maaseh Sheni in Yerushalayim. What about Mechitza liklot? Once the Maaseh Sheni was brought into Yerushalayim, so there's a din, even if you take it out of Yerushalayim, you can no longer be poided. That's Mechitza liklot. He said, kol tuhu mechitza. Since I brought it into Yerushalayim, Yerushalayim doesn't lend itself to pinyon, so even if you take it out, it doesn't lend. So Tosis quotes, that's a machlokes, Tosis on Lamed Vav Amid Beis, Dibra Maschal Damar Ablozer. The Tosis quotes from the Gemaris in the last daf in Sanhedrin and other places where the Mechitza Liklot is a Dinder Isa or a Dinder Abana. So we assume mechitza liklat is only a din derabbanan. In our Torah, there are two dinim in mechitza liklat. One din is, number one, once you brought the ma'aser sheni into Yerushalayim, you're not allowed to take it out. And number two, even if you did take it out, you're not allowed to be poyd. It can't be poyd. On the level of the ra'aser, neither din exists. On the level of ra'aser, it's only mechitza lecho. That when the ma'aser sheni is in Yerushalayim, then you can eat it. When it's chutz Yerushalayim, you can't eat it. But even if you brought it into Yerushalayim, you're permitted to remove it, to take it chutz Yerushalayim, and once you take it out, then you can be poida. So the whole din of mechitza liklot, the two parts, number one, you're not allowed to remove it from Yerushalayim, and number two, even if you did remove it, you can't be poida. That whole din is only mederabban. Fine. So the Gemara says over here, Bikurim, when you have Bikurim, it's Eid al-Nechal b'chama Shabbos. That was the second brice on Amud Aleph. There were two brices. The first brice was about Ma'aser Sheni b'Yerushalayim. Second brice was about eating Bikurim in Yerushalayim, made into matzah. So the second brice, he says that Bikurim in Yerushalayim is Eid al-Nechal b'chama Shabbos. There's no pidyon to Bikurim. There's pidyon to Ma'aser Sheni. Hegdish has pidyon. Ma'aser Sheni has pidyon. It's a pasuk. Tzar takesa b'yadecha. It's pidyon Ma'aser Sheni. But there's no pidyon to Bikurim. Once you made a Bikurim, it says there's no way to be poida. So even if you have Ma'aser Sheni in Yerushalayim, in principle, on the level of the Rais, it is Nechal B'chama Shabbos. I can take it out of Yerushalayim in HaTorah, and then I can be poida. Calls man it's in Yerushalayim, you can't be poida. But I can take it out of Yerushalayim, and then I'll be poida once I take it out. So why does the Gemara consider Ma'aser Sheni is Eina Nechal B'chol Ma'ishavas on a level of the Rabbanan is Eina Nechal, but on the level of the Rais, it is Nechal B'chol Ma'ishavas. That's what Tosis points out. Unless the Gemara is going with the sheet that the Mechitza Liklut is a Din the Rais. Once I brought the Ma'aser Sheni into Yerushalayim and the Kedusha is Nishlemis, that's what we pointed out yesterday. That's called Havo Asmokim, that Ma'aser Sheni and Bikurim, not the revised same as Ma'aser Sheni, Bikurim, and B'chor Be'emet Torah are the three things that require Havo Asmaka. Means when you bring it into Yerushalayim, the Kedusha is completed. So again, the Gemara raises the question, once Rabbi Yosef Glili has a pasuk by Bikurim, that it's not acceptable because in an Echa B'chama Shabbos. So why did they need a new reason by Ma'aser Sheni that it's not no good for matzah because in an Echad Baninus say that it's in an Echad B'chama Shabbos? So that's what Tosis says. No, because Min HaTorah you can take the Ma'aser Sheni chutz liYerushalayim. The only mechitza liklut is only with the Rabbanim. Min HaTorah can take the Ma'aser Sheni out even after bringing it into Yerushalayim. Take it out, then I can be paid it. So the Gemara here sounds as if it's going with the Shita that mechitza liklut is a din d'araisa. The Gemara says, still not a problem. It's still theoretically, it is Nechal B'chama Shabbos. How? But once I brought it into Yerushalayim, it doesn't lend itself to pidyon anymore. So the Gemara quotes Rabbi Elazar's din. What's Rabbi Elazar's din? Rabbi Elazar says, even if you have Ma'aser Sheni in Yerushalayim, if it's nitma, and you're not allowed to eat it, lo bi'artem emene betomei, when you recite the Vida and Ma'isa, and Erev Pesach of the fourth year, and Erev Pesach of the seventh year of the Shemitah cycle, so you say, Labiyartam Mana Bitami. I didn't consume the Ma'aser Sheni in a state of Tuma. So even if you have Ma'aser Sheni be Yerushalayim, but it's Tomei, the Ma'aser Sheni is Tomei, so then Rabbi Elazar says you can be put in the Ma'aser Sheni even if it's still in Yerushalayim. There's one thing you can be put in Ma'aser Sheni, Berichok Mokim, Kiyachakmim Chamokim Kilo Suchal Seisa. Means psiachas chutz l'chaimas Yerushalayim. Then there's another din of pidya ma'aser sheni if it's tuma. It says kilo suchal se'isa mein se'isa l'chil shenema v'isa ma'asos me'is panav. So if the ma'aser sheni cannot be eaten because it's nitma, you're not allowed to eat ma'aser sheni tomei. Lo bi'artem imena b'tomei. So in either case, it lends itself to pidya. So therefore, Bikurim, Rabbi Yosef Glili says correctly, El Nechal B'chama Shabbos. Once you declare that it's Bikurim, there's no way to be poided the Bikurim, and it can't be eaten chutz li Yerushalayim. It's El Nechal B'chama Shabbos. Doesn't help Nitma, doesn't help, it doesn't lend itself to pinyon. But Maaseh Sheni, even if it's brought into Yerushalayim, and even if you would hold that mechitza liklot is a din deraisa, once you brought it into Yerushalayim, it no longer lends itself to pinyon. But if it'll be nitma, it'll lend itself to pinyon. So therefore, the Maaseh Sheni cannot be, you can't say matzah Maaseh Sheni is not acceptable according to Rabbi Yosef, because ain't a nechal b'chol Shabbos. Theoretically, it could be nechal b'chol Shabbos. If it'll be nitma, then it'll lend itself to pinyon. Bikurim doesn't lend itself to pinyon. So once you gurish and bikurim on the stuff, it's ain't a nechal b'chol Shabbos. You can only eat it in Yerushalayim b'kedusha v'tahara. But Maaseh Sheni, even if it's brought into Yerushalayim, theoretically, it does lend itself to pinyon, even in Yerushalayim. Maaseh Sheni she nitma. When I was your age, when I was a Talmud in the yeshiva, so then the Sefer Torah Zeraim came out. I quoted from the Torah Zeraim last week, a couple of days ago. Torah Zeraim was Rabbaye Pomeranchik. He was born in Brisk. And usually the people who learned by the Brisk Rav only learned a year or two because they had a whole system of Velda Salvation. He had 11 chairs around this table in his dining room. So they only had room for 11 Talmudim to sit and learn. So they had a quota. So many came from Radna, so many came from Slabodka, so many came from the other yeshivas. Each yeshiva sent a number of students. But those who were born in Brisk, so they had Kedima. So he learned to Rabbi Arya Pomeranchik, learned to Rabbi Avala for many years. Then after the war, he lived in Eretz Yisrael. So when I was a student in yeshiva, that's when he published his sefer, Torah Zeraim. So he has a very fascinating shaila. Are these two different dinim on pidyon Maaseh Sheni? One din you can be paid in Maaseh Sheni berichak makam kiyuchak mimcha makam kilo sucha seisi ki varecha Hashem alakecha. Kiyuchak mimcha makam means psiachas chutz lachamas Yerushalayim. You can be paid in Maaseh Sheni berichak makam when it's chutz Yerushalayim or kilo sucha seisi if it's nitma. Or maybe there's a common denominator to both of them, the hainu. Maybe the common denominator is whenever the Maaseh Sheni is in a state that it may, then it cannot be eaten. Maaseh Sheni can only be eaten in Yerushalayim. So Kolzman, you didn't bring it to Yerushalayim, you can't eat it. So since there's no mitzvah, you're not allowed to eat the Maaseh Sheni, so therefore it lends itself to pinyon. So maybe even if the Maaseh Sheni is in Yerushalayim, but it's nitma, so it says, lo biyata memena bitome, I didn't consume the Maaseh Sheni in a state of tumah. So since it's nitma, even if it's in Yerushalayim, it doesn't lend itself to pinyon. So maybe the two dinim of pinyon are one and the same. Maybe there's one din. Whenever the Maaseh Sheni doesn't lend itself to the mitzvah of achila, either bericha k'machem, because you can only eat it in Yerushalayim, or bitumah. If you say like that it's one din, then there should be a third case also. The Gemara learns that from a pasuk. Something like that. So the pasuk says you should eat all of these in Yerushalayim. So it puts together, puts it together with Bechor Behema Tahira. Bechor Behema Tahira, Bechor Behema Tahira, Pesach is Kochim Kalim. Kachim Kachim are only Nechal to Zichri Kuhuna in Yazor. Kachim Kalim is Nechal in Yerushalayim. So the Bechor can be eaten in Yerushalayim. But the Gemara learns that from another Pasuk. You can only eat Bechor, you can only eat Kachim Kalim in Yerushalayim. As man sheyesh Mizbeach Bonui. If there's no Mizbeach, and you wouldn't be able to be Zorek the Dam, even though you already were Zorek the Dam. You were Zorek the Dam in the morning, and the Mizbeach fell apart somehow. The Ribuah of the Mizbeach got ruined. It's no longer either the whole Mizbech was destroyed or the Ribu of the Mizbech was ruined. So, and you wouldn't be able to berech the dam. So whenever you don't have a Mizbech Banui, then you're not allowed to eat the Bechor, the Kochim. Also, you're not allowed to eat Maaseh Sheni. Bizman Shei Mizbech, even though Maaseh Sheni doesn't have to be brought to the Beis HaMikdash, Bikurim has to be brought into the Azorah. And you have to do hanocha on the floor. Hinachta lefnei Hashem Elokecha. You have to put the basket. You bring the bikurim in a basket in a sal. Put the sal on the floor. And then there's a question whether the hanocha is me'akebis, whether the tenufa is me'akebis by the bikurim, whether the kriyas haparsha is me'akebis. How much of the havos habikurim is me'akev? that the kohanim are not allowed to eat the bikurim. So the Gemara learns out from the pasuk that bizman sheim is be'ach banui, and you can't eat the b'chor behema toira because you can't be zorik the dam. So even if you already was zorik the dam in the morning at 7 o'clock in the morning, you can't eat it that the mizbech is not banui. So even though ma'aser sheni does not have to be brought into the Beis Hamikdash, only brought into Yerushalayim, you can't eat ma'aser sheni bizman sheim mizbech banui. That's a Gemara Makkas. The Gemara Makkas. You have to have mizbech banui. So what about bizman as a person brought ma'aser sheni to Yerushalayim? And then they tell him, but we can't eat the ma'aser sheni in Yerushalayim. Everybody's tamei, and there's no mizbech banui. So do you say, since the ma'aser sheni cannot be eaten because the nom is be'ach banui, therefore it lends itself to pidyon mizman hazeh even in Yerushalayim because the nom is be'ach banui? Or do you say, no, there's no such din. There's only two dinim of pidyon. There's a din, bricha k'mochem, kirchak mimcha mochem, you can only be part of ma'aser sheni chutz l'Yerushalayim. That's one din pidyon. Then there's another din pidyon, kilo silcho seis, hain seis alachilo shenema. If he can't eat it because the ma'aser sheni was nitma. But let's say the ma'aser sheni was loy nitma. Everybody today is tummy. Everybody went to a funeral sometime. Everybody's tummy. But if I touch food and the food never had hechsher mashkim, I never rinsed off, let's say you have kernels of grain, they were never rinsed off. I never did lesisa on the kernels of grain. So I never had hechsher mashkim. So it's not mekabel tumah. Food is only mekamel tumah. The four things in the whole wide world that are mekamel tumah. Od mekelim, ochlim, and mashkim. So ochlim is only mekabel tumah if it had hechsher mashkim, if you rinsed it off. So let's say you have ma'aser sheni that was never washed off. So it's not mekabel tumah. A person can eat it because he personally is tameh. Most people in the world are tameh. Most people either attended a funeral, even if the kohen never attended a funeral, he shook hands with someone who did attend a funeral. So whoever attends the funeral is an av hatumah, and he touches the kohen, he makes the kohen into a rishon hatumah. A kohen is not allowed to come in contact with tumas hameis. The meis is avi avos hatumah. He's going to become an av hatumah. But if someone attended the funeral, the one who attended is an av hatumah. He's going to shake hands with the kohen, make the kohen into a sheni latumah. That's not prohibited for the kohen. Like the kohen is permitted to touch a dead sheretz. The sheretz is an av hatumah. Is going to make him into a rishon latumah. So that's not an Issa. So whoever attended a funeral becomes an avatumah and is going to shake hands with the kohen and make the kohen into a rishon latumah. So that's mutter. The kohen not allowed to go to a funeral because the masons are the avos hatumah. The kohen will become an avatumah. That's what's osa. But the kohen is permitted to be metame to a dead sheretz. Rav Soloveitchik said he once attended a family simcha, a bris, a pidyon haben or something, and Professor Shaul Lieberman is there. So Shaul Lieberman was married, I think his first marriage was the daughter of Rav Meir Bar Ilan. Rav Meir Berlin was the son of the Netziv. That was Rav Chaim's uncle. Rav Chaim was older than Rav Meir Bar Ilan. He was older than him, but Rav Meir Bar Ilan was Rav Chaim's uncle. So it was Rav Soloveitchik's great, great uncle. It was his grandfather's uncle. So Professor Shaul Lieberman, who has a Jewish Theological Seminary, attended this bris. It was a family simcha. So he struck up a conversation with Rav Soloveitchik and Halacha. So he says he came across a Tshuvas HaGoinim just the other day, that the Goinim write that just like Kohanim are prohibited from coming in contact with Tumas Meis, so too they're not allowed to touch a dead sheretz. Yes, what do you say about that? Rav Soloveitchik said, that's ridiculous. It's against the Halacha. So he said, my grandfather Rav Chaim knew how to learn better than most of the Goinim. The Goinim were the heads of the yeshiva. Some of them, like the president of Yeshiva University. So most of the presidents were Talmid Chachamim. Dr. Revel was a Talmid Chacham. Dr. Belkin was a Rosh Yeshiva, a Talmid Chacham. Mr. Joel was not. Mr. Joel first went to tell you, he's not a rabbi, he's not a Talmid Chacham. So some of the Goinim, the name of the yeshiva was Yeshiva's Goin Yaakov. The head of the yeshiva, the fundraiser, the president was called Rosh Yeshiva's Goin Yaakov. So some of them were Goinim Adirim. Some of them knew how to learn. Shere Goin, Rav Hai Goin, Rav Sadi Goin. Others were not so learned. Others didn't know how to learn. So he said, it doesn't get him excited when you show me such a Tshuvas HaGoinim. And he just says something that's Keneged Halacha. Wrong is wrong. Yeah. A Kohen is permitted to be Metame to a Sheretz. Just like his Kohen is permitted to shake hands with someone who attended a funeral. The mace is avi avos hatuma. The one who attended the funeral is an av hatuma. If he shakes hand with the kohen, it makes the kohen into a rishon hatuma. That's mutar. The kohen is not allowed to come in contact with the mace, that he should become an av hatuma because of the mace. But to touch a sheretz, a dead sheretz, is an av hatuma, makes the kohen into a rishon hatuma. So that's permissible. That's not an issa. So that's a shaila. If you have Maisa Sheni Bismanaza in Yerushalayim, that's not Tomei. How can it be Maisa Sheni is not Tomei? It was never rinsed off, never had Heksha Mashkim. So the Maisa Sheni is not, it's not Royal Kabal Tumah. So the people are all Tomei. Everybody is Tomei. But the Maisa Sheni is not Tomei. So do you say Pidya Maisa Sheni is only one of two Mahalchim, either Bitumah, even in Yerushalayim, or Berichak Makam, every Chutz Yerushalayim? Or do you say, no, they're not two different brands, two different kinds of Pidya Maisusheni. Hatzad HaShavisha Behem, whenever the Maisusheni is either it's Tomei or it's Berichak Machen, whenever the Maisusheni doesn't lend itself to the mitzvah Sachila, because it's not in Yerushalayim, so you can't fulfill the mitzvah Chutz Yerushalayim, or because it's Tomei, you can't love the item of man of Tomei. So who are the Nami if the Maisusheni is Bizman Hazeh, even in Yerushalayim, but there's no Mizbech Banui? So the Maisa Sheni doesn't lend itself to the mitzvah of Achila. So whenever it doesn't lend itself to the mitzvah of Achila's Maisa Sheni, then it lends itself to Pidyon. So that's what the Torah Zeroyim raises this issue. He has a complicated Rai from a Yerushalmi to the Mechudish Dik away, that it's one din. It's one din. I don't think the Torah Zeroyim quotes this. There's a Sefer Pas HaShulchan. Both the Vilna Gaon and the Baal Shem Tov encouraged their followers that they should move to Eretz Yisrael. They both felt that if we'll do an aliyah, if a lot of Jews move to Eretz Yisrael, so then this will hasten the geula. We'll show HaKadosh Baruch that we're interested in having a geula, so he will hasten the geula. So the Talmidim of the Baal Shem Tov and the Talmidim of the Vilna Gaon both made the aliyah in the early 1800s. So one of the Talmidim of the Gro wrote a sefer Pa'as al Shulchan. You have in a big Shulchan Aruch, you have Simen Shin Lamed Aleph. It's one long Simen, but all the mitzvahs are tluyas bar. It has all about Shumas and Maises, Leket, Shikra, Peya, Shmita, Yevel has everything, all in one Simen, because hardly anything is Noik today. So the Talmud of the Vilna Gaon wrote a sefer Pa'as al Shulchan. This is a corner, a winkle of the Shulchan Aruch, and he has all the dinim spelled out explicitly. He has a safe and he has a likut, like a text and a commentary on the side. So he quotes a tshuva, I think, from the Radvaz, where he distinguishes between Pidyon Netarevai and Pidyon Maisusheni Bizman Hazeh. Can you be paid in Netarevai and Maisusheni Bizman Hazeh in Yerushalayim? Why should there be a difference? So he done in the tshuva that he quotes, I think from the Radvaz, he doesn't give any explanation. But what I think he's trying to say is this. This Gemara that says in Makkos, in the third parak in Makkos, the Gemara has a din, that that you can't eat Maaseh Sheni Bizman Hazeh in Yerushalayim, even if you would be Tohar, even if the Maaseh Sheni is Tohar, you can't eat it, because you need Mizbeach Banui. So the Gemara only has that Lasuch Alecha Bisharecha Maisa Digoncha Bisirosh and Ritzarecha, the Choris Bikorcha Bitsanecha. Eating Maisa Sheni Birushalayim is compared to eating Bechor. Bechor Beimatorah can only be eaten in Yerushalayim. Kochi Kochim can only be eaten Lezicher Kun in the Azara. Kochim Kalim can be eaten Mechol Ho'ir in Yerushalayim. So eating Kochim Kalim, Bechoris Bikorcha Bitsanecha is Kochim Kalim. So eating Kochim Kalim in Yerushalayim is compared to eating Maaseh Sheni Yerushalayim. So just like by Kochim Kalim, you need Mizbeach Banui, so by Maaseh Sheni also you need Mizbeach Banui. So there's a Tosfos in the first Perek and Beitza, where the Tosfos seems to be assuming, the Maariv Chayes points it out, in the back of the Vilna Shas, on Beitza. The Tosfos seems to hold that even though there's a Gzeres Shava between Maaseh Sheni and Netarevai, that they have the same dinim, it's not 100% the same. So even though you can't eat Maaseh Sheni, Bizman Sheim, Mizbeach Banui, but Netarevai can be eaten. As long as you're Tohar and the Peres HaTohar, you can eat Netarevai, Afal Pi Sheim, Mizbeach Banui. Maaseh Sheni has to have Mizbeach Banui, but for Netarevai, you don't need. So I thought that's probably what the Radvaz is talking about. that neter avai theoretically could be eaten bisman hazeh if the person is tohar. Neter avai is tohar. So the neter avai can be eaten in Yerushalayim bisman hazeh. You don't need mizbeach banoi. So therefore, the neter avai in Yerushalayim doesn't lend itself to pidyon unless it's nitma. If it's nitma, then you can't eat it in Yerushalayim. So just like Maaseh Sheni shenitma, so neter avai shenitma can be paided in Yerushalayim. But if you have Maaseh Sheni bisman hazeh, even if you're tohar and the Maaseh Sheni is tohar, it never had heksha mashkim, so it can't be mekabel tumah. So even if you have am tohar and the Maaseh Sheni is tohar, but the Maaseh Sheni and the Maaseh Sheni is in Yerushalayim, it still lends itself to pidyon. Why? Because the nom is be'ach bonu today. So the Maaseh Sheni be'atz musa may not be eaten. And it's one din. The Chuvas HaRadvaz holds that it's one din. Maaseh Sheni chutz li'Yerushalayim, Maaseh Sheni shenitma, Maaseh Sheni bizman hazeh, that this nom is be'ach bonu is all the same din. Whenever the Maaseh Sheni is in a state that it doesn't lend itself to the mitzvah of achila, then it lends itself to pidyon. So bizman hazeh it can even be paid in the Maaseh Sheni in Yerushalayim af al pi shelo nitma. Yeah, so that's what the Torah's rhyme raises that issue. Are these two different dinim? Maaseh Sheni lends itself to pidyon berichak makam, or Maaseh Sheni lends itself to pidyon if it's nitma? Are they one and the same din? Whenever it doesn't lend itself to the mitzvah of achila, then it lends itself to pidyon. So then if you say that it's one and the same din, then it should come out like that Shuvas HaRadvaz. Okay, so again, so what did the Gemara say? Rabbi Yosef Glili, in the first brisa, he says he can't eat matzah shal maaseh sheni b'Yerushalayim. He can't be yotze because ein anechah baninus. And the second brisa, he says he can't be yotze with matzah shal bikurim b'Yerushalayim because ein anechah b'chol ma'ishavas. Why doesn't he say that bikurim is ein anechah baninus? Apparently, he thinks bikurim is anechah baninus. Why doesn't he say that Maaseh Sheni is no good because Ein Anecha B'chol Ma'ishavasechem? Because he holds like Rabbi Elazar the Amora. He holds like Rabbi Yosef Glili apparently thinks like this Amora. The Tana thinks like this Amora, that Maaseh Sheni Shenitma does lend itself to Pidyon even when it is in Yerushalayim. You don't even have to take it out B'richet Machem. It lends itself to Pidyon if it's Nitma. So therefore he needed two different reasons. That is saying, Matzah Shal Maaseh Sheni, he can't be Yotze in Yerushalayim because Ein Anecha Baninus. He couldn't say Ein Anecha B'chol Ma'ishavas because theoretically it could be Nechol B'chol Ma'ishavas. If the Maaseh Sheni will be Nitma, then you'll be able to be Paided. Once you're Paided, it will be Nechol B'chol Ma'ishavas. So that's why Rabbi Yosef Glili had to give the two reasons. So then the Gemara quotes, the Gemara says, Rabbi Akiva backed out. Originally, Rabbi Akiva disagreed with Rabbi Yosef Glili in the second brisa, what the mocker of the din is. But Allah HaLamaisi, he agreed with him, the matzah shall be kurim, he can't be yotze. But whereas Rabbi Yosef Glili said the reason why he can't be yotze, matzah shall be kurim is because an anecha b'chol ma'ishavasechem. Rabbi Akiva gave a different reason because it's a hekesh between matzah mar. Then the Gemara says, Chazabar Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Akiva backed out, and he agreed with Rabbi Yosef Glili's reason. He said, the reason why it's no good, because an anecha b'chol ma'ishavas. How do they know that Rabbi Akiva backed out? Because they quote a braisa, Hadabei, where's the Gemara? Hadabei Rabbi Akiva, here the third line from the top. Hadabei Rabbi Akiva, Akiva backed out, and he holds 100% like Rabbi Yosef Glili in the second braisa. The matzah shal bikurim is not acceptable because ein anechol b'chol ma'ishavas. How do you see the Tanya? How do you see Rabbi give it back to the Tanya? Yochel yetzelim dechvasa b'bikurim tamlam b'chol ma'ishavas b'toch matzah anechol b'chol ma'ishavas. It doesn't have a name. It doesn't say, is it Rabbi Akiva or is it Rabbi Yosef Glili? Then it continues. Yochel shani motzi af ma'ishavas sheni tamlam matzah sriba. So matzah shal ma'ishavas sheni is good. So that's Rabbi Akiva's sheet. Rabbi Yosef Glili holds no good because ein anechol b'aninus. So the brisa goes like Rabbi Akiva, and nonetheless, Rabbi Akiva gave what Rabbi Yosef Glili said in the second brisa. The matzah shall be kurim is no good because ein anechol b'chol ma'ishavas. You see, the Rabbi Akiva backed out. He holds halacha l'maisa like the reasoning of Rabbi Yosef Glili in the second brisa. Shema min ha'adabei. Here there is a discussion in Tosfos. The end of it, there's a Tosfos Lamed Vav on the base, the Omer Rabbi Loza. So the last five lines, I said, Yesh Lama, there are six lines. The Hochalam Martina Luhum in Muhammad Shizekham Elul is man base, I love him, love his man, no be given. Tosfos asked Akasha, why do you say that Bikurim is an Anechal? Why do you say that Bikurim is an Anechal Bechal Moshvay Seichem? But Bizman no be given, what was the din? You have to bring Bikurim to the Beis HaMikdash. So what was Nova given? Nova given was a Bama Gdola, and there was, as man had the Bamas there. There was a period of time that Mishkan Shila was standing. So during the time of Mishkan Shila, there was an Issa Bamas. But before Mishkan Shila and after Mishkan Shila, there was a Heta Bamas. There was a Bama Gdola, and there was a Bama Ktana. So the Gemara says, you're only permitted to bring on a Bama Ktana the Dorim and Adobis. That's a Chatas and an Ashim you can't bring on a Bama Ktana. And what about on a Bama Gedola? What are you allowed to bring on a Bama Gedola? So the Gemara says, we usually say a little inaccurately, it's not Meduyak, we say that Tumah is Muta Betzibur. If it's a korban tzibur, you're allowed to be makar of the betum. So the Gemara, there's a Mishnah in Temura where Reb Meir, the Mishnah quotes Reb Meir. Reb Meir has a, I think it's the second parak in Temura. Reb Meir makes a comment. It doesn't really depend on korban yochid versus korban tzibur. It really depends on a korban shezmana kavua versus a korban sheein zmana kavua. Ruba de ruba of the korbanus tzibur azmanam kavua. Tmidim umasafim. Asmanim kavua. What it means, manim kavua? Mava yoma batal karbana. If I don't bring today's Monday, if I don't bring today's tamid, today I can't bring it tomorrow. Mava yoma batal karbana. Let's say Shabbos, you bring musafim, Rosh Chodesh, you bring musafim. If you don't bring the musafim on that day, mava yoma batal karbana. So that's called the korban shezmanim kavua. So most of the ruba of the karbana sibur asmanim kavua. Once in a long while, you have a korban. Theoretically, you have a korban sibur which is not zmanim kavua. Let's say if the Bez Nagodol made a mistake and unanimously all the 71 members of the Bez Nagodol said you're allowed to eat a certain kind of chametz but Pesach, you're allowed to eat a certain kind of food on Yom Kippur, and 51% of the tzibur who live in Eretz Yisrael violated an Issa Kares, when do you bring achatos? Kol shezonu kares, shegigos achatos. Someone did an aver b'shegig, which the nature of the aver is such that if he would have done the aver b'mezid, he would have been chayv kares. If he do the aver b'shegig, then you have to bring. Then you have to bring a carbon chatas. If it's an individual person did an aver b'shogeg, he brings a kizbo sira. One of 51% of the Jews who live in Eretz Yisrael, that's called klal Yisrael. Jews who live in Chutz Lartz are called yechidim. So 51% of the Jews who live in Eretz Yisrael, 50 rive of the tzibur of klal Yisrael violate the nisa kodesh because of a mistake in psak of the Bez Nagodol. They were following the psak of the Bez Nagodol. So instead of telling each and every individual person, you ate chametz b'pesach, you ate food on Yom Kippur that you weren't allowed to eat, the Bez Nagodol brings one carbon and everybody gets a kapara. That's called Bar HaLandover Shel Tzibur. So the Bar HaLandover Shel Tzibur, we don't know historically whether they, on the books there's such a din. The conditions are so rare. You have to have unanimous vote. All the 71 members of the Bez Nagodol have to make a mistake and paskan that Anisa Koris is mutter. How often did that ever happen? And then 51% of the tzibur is going to listen to them. Probably not going to listen to them. Even if that'll happen, that all 71 members of the Bez Nagodol are going to make a mistake, the tzibur probably won't listen to them. And they'll probably catch it. They'll probably back out that they made a mistake before 51% will do the issa. So probably in the history of the world, probably never happened. But on the books, there is such a thing that we don't believe infallibility of the Bez Nagodol. That's a different religion. We believe that God is infallible, but the human beings are all fallible. You can do averis, you can make mistakes, you can make a mistake in psak. So on the books it said the Bez Nagodol is possible. Bez Nagodol gives a mistake in psak, unanimous vote, and the rive of the tzibur do the averis, yesh bokoris. So the Bez Nagodol has to bring a par halam doa shel tzibur. So the paralandovah shel tzibur is not zman kavua. They bring it whenever they have an opportunity, whenever they have a chance, the first chance they have, they bring it. So that's not Deicha Shabbos, that's not Deicha Tumah. The korban is that a Deicha Shabbos and that a Deicha Tumah is a korban shezman kavua. It doesn't depend on korban yochid versus korban tzibur. It depends on korban shezman kavua versus korban shein zman kavua. That's where Rameyer says, quoted in the Mishnah in the second parak in Tmura. A korban shezman kavua is Deicha Shabbos and Deicha Tumah. So another din, a korban shezmana kavua is korev benove givon. He can only on a bamas yochid when there was a heta bamas. Bizman mishkan shila, bizman yerushalayim. There's no heta bamas. Bizman nove givon before and after mishkan shila, there was a heta bamas. So when you have a bamas yochid, there's a heta bamas. You can only bring the dorim and the davas. You can't bring korbanos that are chayva. But if it's a korban shezman or kavua, then you can bring it under bamas tzibur. So the shaila is, what about bikurim? Is bikurim considered a korban? Bikurim, it's not really a korban. Bikurim is not a korban, but you have to bring it to the Beis HaMikdash. You have to do hanocha on the floor. So the question is, if they would they bring bikurim in the days of Noiv HaGivon? So there are two opinions in Tosfos. There's a steer in Tosfos on two different dafim here. Here on Lamed Ches Amud Beis, the second Tosfos, the smaller Tosfos, the Cholim and Ovel Gimel, Hikshah Ben and Nisim Kain, Bikurim is Manu Kavua. You can only bring Bikurim between Shavuos. If you want to be Mevi Bikurim, you want to be Sakta Rami Avidavi, you have to bring the Bikurim in between Shavuos and Sukkos. And then in between Sukkos and Chanukah, you can be Mevi Beinakori. After Chanukah, you're not Mevi already. So this is Mana Kavua for bringing Bikurim. So it should be treated like a Korban Shez Mana Kavua. And then Korban Shez Mana Kavua, you're allowed to bring in Nova Givam. So the bottom Tosfos on Lamed Ches Amud Beis, Nacholim and Nova Givam, it quotes Rabbeinu Nissim Goyen, who was of the opinion, he lived in the days of the Goyim. Rabbeinu Nissim Goyen is of the opinion, the last line of Tosfos, Shein lahem zman kavua, that Bikurim is not called zman kavua. Bikurim is not called zman kavua, and they never bought Bikurim bizman over given. And our Tosfos on Lamed Vav Amud Beis disagrees. Tosfos says that they did bring Bikurim bizman over given because it's a korban shezman kavua. So they brought it. So on the assumption that they did bring Bikurim bizman over given, where do you eat it? So when you bring Bikurim to the Beis HaMikdosh and Beis HaElamim and Yerushalayim, then the pasuk says, "Ahalta sham of nesh amalkecha ma'aseh diganach b'serecha u'trumas yadecha." Trumas yadecha elo habikurim. Can only eat bikurim in Yerushalayim. When you have a zman heta bamas, what does it mean? That heta bamas means if there would be a beis elamim, if there would be a beis hamigdash in Yerushalayim, you wouldn't be allowed to bring these karbanas in your own bamas yachid. But if there's a zman heta bamas, or whatever carbon you can bring to Yerushalayim, you can bring wherever you want. You can bring it. You can bring it, and you can eat it. Let's say you'll bring a shlamim, the darim and the dabas. You can bring the shlamim anywhere in Eretz Yisrael. There's a hetabamas anywhere. The mechilta says, the first mechilta says, no hetabamas in chutz l'aretz. But there's a hetabamas in Eretz Yisrael. So all of Eretz Yisrael is roy. So let's say bizmano v'givain, so they would be able to bring, you have to bring the bikurim to the Beis HaMikdosh. So they would bring the bikurim, it's manu kavua. According to the one opinion of Tosfos, it is the Tosfos here holds. Tosfos lamed vav amud beis dima mascha damar ablaz holds the bikurim is mana kavua. Not like the Rabbeinu Nissim Goyen says that it's not. The Maharsha points out that it's two different opinions in Tosfos. Tosfos doesn't put them together on the same daf, but it's clearly they disagree with each other. Rabbeinu Nissim Goyen holds that it's mana over given. You couldn't bring bikurim. So don't be mafresh bikurim, like bizman hazeh. Don't be mafresh bikurim, because you can't, there's no way to bring it. You won't be able to be matarid b'achila. And the Tosfos Lamed Vav Amud Beis holds that bizman no be given. You could bring the bikurim to the Beis Hamikdash, to the Nova given to the Bama Gedola, and then you have a heter. You have a heter bamas that whatever, let's say the shlamim, if you would have brought it, then Yerushalayim can only bring it. You can only eat it in Yerushalayim. So if it's man heter bamas, you can eat the shlamim anywhere in Eretz Yisrael. So the same thing, Maaseh Sheni can eat anywhere. That's how it says in the Mishnah. Is man over given? You can eat the Maaseh Sheni all over Eretz Yisrael. So Tosfos has a machlokes over here. If the Bikurim theoretically could have been eaten Bisman Nova given, the Rabbi Nissim holds he couldn't bring Bikurim Bisman Nova given. If you would have been able to bring it, even though Bisman Azeh, the Bikurim is Enenacha B'chol Moshavos, you can only eat Bikurim in Yerushalayim. But since theoretically in the days of Nova given, if it would have been Mutter, it wasn't Mutter, he holds, if it would have been Mutter to bring Bikurim to Nova given, and do Hanocha there, and then to eat the Bikurim anywhere in Eretz Yisrael, like Maaseh Sheni Nechem B'chol Ha'ari Yisrael. So then, even Bizman Beis Olamim, Bikurim would theoretically, goes on theoretically, Bikurim would be considered Necholim B'chol Ha'ari Yisrael, Necholim B'chol Mashvasech. So the question was, Rabbi Yosef Aglili says in the Braisa, the second Braisa, the bottom of Lamed Vav, the earlier Braisa was about being Yotze Matzah Shal Maaseh Sheni B'Yerushalayim. The lower price is eating, being yotze matzah with matzah shall bikurim be Yerushalayim. A kohen, a non-kohen, not allowed to eat bikurim. A kohen wants to eat matzah shall bikurim be Yerushalayim. So Rabbi Yosef Aglili said in the second price, it's no good because I don't know b'chol Moshe Seich. We explained that you can't make lishma because the nature of the mitzvah bikurim, achilas bikurim, is incommensurate with the nature of the mitzvah of achilas matzah. So you can't have such a thing. It can't be chal de lishma. The Shem Matzah, because it started off as Bikurim, it's a different kind of a mitzvah. So the Shaila is, the fact that in the days of Nova Givon, Bikurim would be Nechel B'chol Moshe Sechem, does that mean that even Bizman Hazeh, it's theoretically called Nechel B'chol Moshe Sechem, theoretically? Or do you say, no, Bizman Nova Givon, it would be Nechel B'chol Moshe Sechem, not Bizman Hazeh. So that's the machlokes between the Rabbi and Nissim Gwen and the Tosfos and the Balei HaTosfos. The Balei HaTosfos hold that just because Bizman Nova given it was Necha B'chol Moshavos, that doesn't have an effect Bizman Hazeh. And there are many Nissim Goyim held that so. He thought that since theoretically there was a period of time, namely during the Tkufa of Nova given, that Bikurim would be Necha B'chol Moshavosechem, that shows that the Chal Hashem Bikurim is called Necha B'chol Moshavos, theoretically. So even Bizman Hazeh should also be called Necha B'chol Moshavos. So how come Rabbi Yosef Aglili says Bikurim is an Nechel B'chol Moshavos? The answer is because even Mizman Nova given it was an Nechel B'chol Moshavos. They didn't bring it. They wouldn't bring Bikurim Mizman Nova given. And our Tosfos holds not so. The Tosfos on Lamed Vav and Mebeis, the end of the Maaseh Omer Ablaz holds not so. They hold Mizman Nova given. They brought Bikurim, and at that time Taka was Nechel B'chol Moshavosechem. But the Gemara is talking Bizman Hazeh. If you eat matzah shal bikurim Bizman Hazeh, it's saying Nechel B'chol Moshavosechem. The fact that Bizman Nova given it could be Nechel B'chol Ha'ari Yisrael doesn't have any effect on Bikurim Bizman Hazeh. So this is the stira in Tosfos. It's a double stira. One stira whether Bikurim was Noig Bizman Nova given, is that called a korban shizman kavua that you can bring the Bikurim? So one day in Tosfos says no. The Rabbi Nissim Gaon holds that's not called Nechel B'chol Moshavos. That's not called Korban Shizman HaKavua. And you cannot bring Bikurim Bizman Nova given. They gave two explanations why. Either Mishael or Peris Aliyavli Bikurim, or because it's such a big period of time. Holy Eshlam Zman Gadol Kol Kach B'chol Shizman HaKavua. Two opinions and thesis why. But if it would have been Bizman Nova given, if it would have been Nechel B'chol Moshavosechem, if it would have been Noyig, then even Bizman Hazeh Bikurim would be called theoretically Nechel B'chol Moshavosechem. And the Balei HaTosfos and Lamed Vav and Mebeis are in disagreement with this Rabbeinu Nissim Gaon that this Tosfos is quoted. And they hold no, that Bikurim Bizman Nova given was Nechel B'chol Moshavosechem. And Bizman Hazeh, it's a different Chal Hashem Bikurim. Zman Hazeh, you're not allowed to etzein anecha b'chol moshe sech. But b'zman over given, it was called Zman HaKavua, and it was necha b'chol moshe sech. So it's a double machlekes between the Rabbin and Nissen Goyen and the Bali HaTesis.
Rabbi?
Yes?
Would anyone say that Havas Bikurim is Doche Shabbos because it's Zman HaKavua? Or that no one would say?
I don't think there's any malacha. You see, when you bring a korban, you do shchita, then you do havara, you burn the chalef. Shchita is a malacha, but bikurim, I don't think there's any malacha involved. They're carrying, so don't carry. Leave it somewhere there. Make an erev. Don't carry. It can't be derech Shabbos because it doesn't require any malachas by bikurim. Here there's a famous tesis, the top tesis on Lamed Vav Amid Beis. The Magen Avraham quotes that there's a machlekes, the Maharsha and the Maharshal, how to read the top tesis. The Shad is like this. There are chameshes mini dogon. The Mishnah lists off the chameshes mini dogon. Chita mesorim kus mishabodah shul and shipan. So the Gemara says on Lamed Hey Amid Aleph, that basically there are two. There's chitim and sorim, and the others are, in a certain sense, there's subcategories of chitim and subcategories of sorim. Then you have another institution, the chumash, shivas aminim shenishtapchem em eretz yisrael. Eretz chita v'sor v'gefen v'teina v'rim and eretz zeshem v'nedvosh. What's the halachic significance of the shivas aminim? So the Gemara says, you only bring bikurim from the shivas aminim. Any other fruits and vegetables, you don't bring bikurim. So the question is, in the Shivas Aminim, we have Chita Mesorim. Chita Sor B'Gefen Atein. Sich Chita Besor. Chita Besor means only wheat and barley. What about oats, rye, and spelt? So do you say that since these are subcategories of Chita Besor, like the Gemara says, Laman Hem and Aleph, this is a subcategory of this, that's a subcategory of that. So all the Chameshes Mini Dogan are included in the Shivas Aminim. And you bring Bikurim from not only from wheat and barley, from oats, rye, and spelt as well. Maybe I should say no. The only two that are listed in the Shivas Aminim are Chita Usara. And the others that are subcategories, you don't bring Bikurim for them. So that's a machlokes, the Maharsha in the Maharshal, how to read the top Tosfos on Lamed Vav on the base. Let's see what the Tosfos is talking about. Let's go back again. The bottom brisa on the Lamed Vav and Aleph towards the bottom. Rabbi Yosef Glili raises a shayla. The Kohen was given Bikurim. Bizman Shabbos Hamikdash Hayikayim. They brought Bikurim to the Beis Hamikdash B'Tahara. They give it to the Kohen. They recite the Rami Avirabi. They give it to the Kohen. The Kohen has to eat it in Yerushalayim B'Tahara. So instead of eating it stam like this, he's going to kill two birds with one stone. He's going to bake matzah out of it. And he's going to eat it on Leil Pesach for the Seder, and it'll be out to two mitzvahs simultaneously. The mitzvah, al achilas bikurim, it probably says a bracha. Shekinashanam, b'kedushos v'shalam v'tzivonam, al achilas truma. Probably says, because it's a dino ketruma. Bikurim is basically dino ketruma. So he says, Shekinashanam, b'kedushos v'shalam v'tzivonam, al achilas truma. He's going to say hamoitzi. Then he's going to say al achilas matzah. Then he's going to say, Shekinashanam, b'kedushos al achilas truma. Okay? He's going to say one birchas hanen and hamotzi and two birchas hamitzah. So Rabbi Yosef Glili says it's no good because en anechol b'chol moshe sechem. You can't. It's so different from the mitzvah of achilas bikurim. So different from the mitzvah of achilas matzah. En anechol b'chol moshe shabbos. It can't be mekayim both with the same kazais. Cannot be. So the way that Brisa says, Rabbi Akiva agrees with Rabbi Yosef Glili v'lab mitamei. He gives a different reason. He doesn't say there's no such din as ein anecha b'chol moshe shabbos. That's what the Gemara says. Chaza by Rabbi Akiva, and they prove from a Brisa that the Tana who says that you can be yotze with matzah shal ma'aser sheni, that is Rabbi Akiva, holds that you can't be yotze with matzah shal bikurim because ein anecha b'chol moshe shabbos. That was Rabbi Yosef Glili's reason, and Rabbi Yosef Glili holds that you cannot be yotze with matzah shal ma'aser sheni either. So the Brisa must be Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva chose about Rabbi Akiva. But before they came to that realization, chose about Rabbi Akiva. So what did he say? Rabbi Akiva agrees with the Rabbi Yosef Glili, the halacha l'maisa v'lav mitameh. He holds that a matzah shal bikurim is not acceptable, but not for the reasoning of Rabbi Yosef Glili. Rather, a different reason that there's a hekesh matzah mara written the pasuk one next to the other. Ma mara she'ena bikur, mach matzah she'ena bikur. Freg the gemara, if that's a valid hekesh, ma matzah she'ena bikurim, then you should have formulated it differently. Ma matzah she'ena b'mina bikurim. The vegetables that can be used for mara, none of them are from the shivas aminim. So ein b'mina bikurim. Af matzah she'ena b'mina bikurim. So it should come out that you can't be yotze matzah with chita masorim. And that's wrong, because the Mishnah says matzah is good. Any one of the chamesh minim dogan is good. So the Gemara says, how the Bai Rav Kivi? He backed out from that. So when the Gemara had the havamina, that whatever is a min that you can bring bikurim from, you shouldn't be allowed to be yotze matzah with it. So how would you ever have matzah? Matzah has to be one of the chameshes mini dogon. So what's roy to bring bikurim? Only chita mesorim or all the chameshes mini dogon? So that's two girsis and toises. So the Marsha had the toises the way we have it. Toises asks the kasha and doesn't give an answer. Toises asks, and the Marsha says, every so often usually you have yim toime v'yeshlema. Toises quotes a kasha and they give an answer. Once in a while, Toises has a kasha, teima, they don't have an answer. So the Marsha says, and if you look in the Toises Shantz, the Toises Rashbam Mishantz, Rashmi Shantz, he has the way the Marsha said. Years ago, the Aderis put out the Toises Shantz with her. Aderis was Rav Kook's first father-in-law, Rabbi Eliyahu David Rabinovich Tohomim. So that's what they sell now. The Toises Rashbo, Toises Shantz on Psochem, that's the original set of Toises on Psochem is the Toises Shantz. You have different mesichtes, the original set of Tosfos is different. So, and Psochem happens to be the Tosfos Shantz. So he has it that the Tosfos yes, the kasha, and they give no teretz. At this point in the Gemara, that they thought the hekesh between matzah and mora means you can't be yotze matzah with something. Mora is ein b'mina bikurim. So maybe matzah has to be ein b'mina bikurim. Has to be such a grain that you can never bring bikurim from it. So all the chameshes mini dogan you bring bikurim from. So that was Tosfos Kasha, and they have no teretz. How could they have entertained such a havamina that you can only be yotze matzah with such a kind of grain which is zeim mini bikurim? Then you're not going to get all the chameshes mini dogan. So the marshal thought that there's a mistake in the ksavyad, that Tosfos always asked the kasha to give an answer. So the Mashal read it, that Tosfos asked the Kasha, so how are you going to be Yotze Matzah if you can't use something that's Yesh B'minim B'kurim? So Tosfos answered, you'll use the other three Minim. Kusmin, Shebel, Shul, and Shipa. You won't use Chita Mesorim, use the others, because the others are not B'minim B'kurim. You only bring B'kurim from Chita Mesorim. You don't bring from all the Chameshes Mini Dogim. And the Mashal had it. No, the Mashal had it the way we have it. That's what the Aderis points out. The Mashal had the Gersa the way we have it in the and the Tosfos Shantz, that they asked the Kasha, they didn't give a teretz. According to Rabbi Akiva's Havamina, that you can't be Yotze Matzah with something which is Yesh B'mina B'kurim, so it'll be impossible to have Matzah. Matzah is only from the Chameshes Mini Dogen, and all five of them are Yesh B'mina B'kurim, because the Kusman, Shebol, Shon, Shipan are subcategories of Chitu Hasera. Yeah, this is called, what's it doing in the Mogen Avram? Where do we have it? Aloha Maisa Bisman Machlik is the Marsha and the Mashal Hilchas Bikurim is Mansha Besamik Dushayakayam. Did they bring Bikurim from all the Chameshes Mini Dogan or only from Chita Visorim and not from the other three? How is it relevant Bismanazah? Because the Gemara says Adin and Brochas that if you have Chita Visorim in front of you, you're interested in eating both. So which one? And they're both Baribin and Mizainas, let's say. They're both Amatzi Lachman or Aretz. Both bari pri hadama, whatever you didn't make, you're eating cooked kernels or grain, whatever the bracha is supposed to be. So whenever you eat chitim esorim, so the kedima is given to the chitim, because kol akodim bepasa akodim lebracha. Eretz chitu esorim begefen atein avarim and eretz zeishemen udvash. So the five minim I mentioned in the first page, chitu esorim begefen atein avarim and zeishemen udvash. So the Gemara says, Chita precedes Zayas, and Sora comes next, is third, and then Dvash Tamarim is the fourth, and then Gefen Tenevarima. The first of the Shivas Amina mentioned in the first Pasuk, next to the first Eretz Kama, Eretz Chitos, Eretz Zeishemen Advash. Then the next is Zeishemen. Zeishem is next to first after Eretz Basra and the Pasuk. And then comes Seora, is second from the first Eretz. And Dvash Tamarim is second to the second Eretz. And then the third, the fourth, and the fifth. That's the order. So this is a Seder Kedimus if you're saying Brachas. This is the Seder Kedimus. The Bei Yeshua has an interesting comment there on Ad Gemara. The whole thing sounds like an Asmachta Midrabbanan. The whole Brichas Hanenin is only Midrabbanan. So what do you mean? The Pasuk is teaching you which should have the Kedima. The whole thing is only an Asmachta. So he thinks it's not an Asmachta. He thinks, let's say you have Bikurim from the Shivas Aminim, and the fellow's interested in eating two or three of the different Bikurim. So, and all the Bikurim for all the Shivas Aminim. Is there any Seder in which you should eat it? So that's a din deraisa. When the Kohen eats Bikurim, he says, Abracha Shekadishani, Bikdashosh Shalaran, it's Ivan of Alachila Struma. So, and he wants to eat two. He wants to eat Chita Masorim. He wants to eat Chita and Geffen. He wants to eat grapes or wine. So which should he give Kedima to? So the Pasuk goes on the Din Deraisa for the purpose of Achilas, Maisusheni, or Achilas, Bikurim. Then once the Chachamim introduced the Brichas Hanenin, if you're eating any of the foods, so then the Pasuk called the Tikkun Rabbanan came there, I said, Tikkun, you have a Pasuk with the Seder Kedimas within the Shivas Aminim. So on the level of the Raisa, it applies to Achilas, Maisusheni, or to Achilas Bikurim. On a level of Rabbanan, it applies to Birchas Hanenin over them. So that's where the Magen Avraham is. In Hilchas Birchas Hanenin, when the Shulchan Aruch quotes Adin and the Gemara, whatever is Samach Leretz Kama, Samach Leretz Basra, what's the Seder Kedimas in reciting Birchas Hanenin on these various foods? Yes, yeah, so that Mashah is important. And Mashah pointed out that there's a stira here, not a stira, it's a machlokes between Rabbein and Nisim Goin. Tosfos should have put them together, that you should realize it. And Lamed Ches on the base, the bottom Tosfos, Rabbein and Nisim Goin, disagrees on 2 points with the Bala Tosfos, with the Re Bala Tosfos, and of Lamed Vav on the base. 1 point of disagreement is whether in Nova Givon, Bizman Nova Givon, when there was a Bama Gedola there, did they actually bring, you can only bring Korban Shezmano Kavua. Is Bikurim considered a Korban Shezmano Kavua? So they could bring it to Nova Givon. And once they bring it to Nova Givon, then you're allowed to eat it B'chol Ari Yisrael. That's the Het HaBamas. Het HaBamas means you're allowed to eat Ma'aseh Shein B'chol Ari Yisrael. That's a Mishnah. Then you can eat the Kohenim can eat the Bikurim B'chol Ari Yisrael. Or should I say, no, they never brought the Bikurim is not called Zman Kavua for one or two reasons. Either because Ein Lo Peris Lo Yali Bikurim or because it's Zman Godel Kolkach. And then the other machlokes is, if you have something that, let's say Bikurim did exist, Bizman Lo Yavigiva. And it was Nechal Atah Taim Uchol Ari Yisrael. Does that have an effect on Bikurim after the Beis Alamin was built, after the Beis HaMikdash was built? They say Bikurim is Bikurim. So since Bizman Noiva given him as Nechel B'chol Moshavus, even today, theoretically, it's also called Nechel B'chol Moshavus. I want to say, no, Bizman Noiva given him as Nechel B'chol Moshavus. Bizman is that it's not Nechel B'chol Moshavus. So that's a double machlekes between the Re Bava Teisvus and the Rabbeinu Nisim Goin. There's a Rashi here. It's an important Rashi. And I'm involved on the base. Me'atzeres, it says you can bring Bikurim starting from Shavuos till Hanukkah, but Mikra Bikurim, Arami Abed Rabbi, can only recite from Shavuos until Sukkot. And in between Sukkot and Hanukkah, you can bring the Bikurim, but you can't recite Arami Abed Rabbi. So the question is, can you really bring Bikurim on Shavuos? Or does it only begin the day after Shavuos? So the Menachas Chinuch talks about this. Rashi here sounds like he says you can't bring Bikurim before Shavuos because it's Chodosh. But once you bring the Menachas, once just like the Omer is Matir Chodosh Bamedina, so the Shtel Lechem that's brought on the first day Shavuos is Matir Chodosh and Migdosh. So once you brought the Shtel Lechem on Shavuos morning, then is a Heter Chodesh. He can even bring Bikurim on Shavuos. That's according to Rashi. And the Minchas Chinuch has other Rishonim who say, no, that's not enough, that there's no Issa Chadosh. The mitzvah Havoas Bikurim only begins the day after Shavuos. Shavuos is called the Yom HaBikurim because you bring the Shtei Alechem, so you don't begin to bring Bikurim till the day after Shavuos. That's a shame. When does the mitzvah Bikurim begin? On Shavuos, after bringing the Shtei Alechem, or the day after Shavuos? Okay, maybe we will stop here. Believe me, tomorrow we will try to continue. Cheerful Gemara is here. A lot of halachas. Okay. Good.
Rebbe?
Yes.
Rebbe, have time for a few questions?
I think I do. Let me see what's on my schedule. I do have time. I have till 5:45.
More than enough time. Okay. Rebbe, just two quick questions on Rebbe Shimon Shita with Ein Isser Chal Al Isser.
Hold on. Yeah. 1 minute. Hello. Okay, good. Baruch Hashem. That's right. The law by way before. Yeah. Yeah, they're not going to eat it on Yom Tov. But I know for sure that they're not going to eat this much on Yom Tov. That's probably not right. You're doing melachos on extra oichlin. That's not. They'll lose money. Mean some women will be left without food for Yom Tov? Mm-hmm. And the stores won't have leftover from before. I thought they always have leftover. Yeah, from the week before, from a month before. They don't have leftover things. Yeah. If it's really true that there are stores where they don't have anything left, I can't imagine that it's true. If it's really true, then it is mutter. Like we paskin that to bake in the days of the Gemara, they would bake by putting into the oven. Yes, a pas neses yofa bezman shatana, huh? Yeah. So if it's just not shayach, yeah, but I don't think it's true. I think over here the stores are going to have leftover chickens from before. Yeah, from before Yanta. Uh-huh. So let's say the Shecht on the first day of Chalaman. Of course you can. My wife has chicken in the freezers from last year. Sure we have. Yeah. Oh, they don't. So they don't, in the store, they don't put it in the freezer, they just put it in the refrigerator. And they'll be mapsed, they'll be losing money if they'll only shecht 10%, because they have to pay for the use of the thing a whole day. Yeah. If you really need it, I think then it is mutter. If 10% of it you do need. Right. Yeah. But let's say the stores will put up a sign that we will not have any more deliveries. After the second day Chalmoy, we will not have any more deliveries. So the women will buy before. They'll know they have to shop. Yeah. Very good. We'll look at that. Okay. Good. Okay. Thank you. Good. Bye bye. Sorry about that. Okay.
Rebbe, just two quick questions regarding Rebbe Shimon's Shita when it comes to Ein Isser Chalal Isser.
Yes.
We said that Lefi Rebbe Shimon, the Isser of Pesach won't be Chal on Tevel because Tevel is there first.
It's a chametz, yeah, it won't be a chal on tevel, yeah.
Well, Lefi Rebbe Shimon, firstly, shouldn't we say that Pesach would apply to tevel because it's an iser mosif, because chametz is aser bahana, the Pesach?
So it should be an iser mosif?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. According to Tosfos, that hano on top of achila, according to the Rambam. The Rambam holds that Hano on top of Achila is an Isma. I think Tosfos holds that it's not. Tosfos holds that Hano on top. I think even according to the Rambam, the Rambam asked Akasha. The Rambam asked the Akasha. That's called the Nekuda Niflo. The Rambam asked similar to your Akasha. So he answers that the Issa Chometz has to first be Chal, has to be also Achila. After it's also b'achila, then it's also osa b'ano. But since the achila can't be chal, because ain isa chal al iser, so the isa ano can't be chal. If you would have, let's say, I have a live animal, so b'hema b'chaya b'cheskas iser achila, then I magdish it. So hegdish starts off as an isa ano, doesn't start off as an isa achila. But chometz b'pesach starts off as an isa achila, That's also asa b'hanos. If the Yisra Achila isn't chal, then Nisa Hanos is not going to be chal either. That's what the Rambam asks the Yorkash, and he gives that teretz. Yeah. Tosfos holds that Hanos on top of Achila is never called Mosif. And the Rambam holds that it is called Mosif. This is called the Eish B'inyan HaZen and the Kud in the floor. We don't know Arabic, so we use the Hebrew translation of the Pirush HaMishnayos. So a few times, the one who translated, Ibn Tidman, whoever, the one who translated the Rambam's Pirush HaMishnayos from Arabic to Hebrew, he writes every so often, the Eish B'inyan HaZen and the Kud in the floor. There's a fascinating point over here. So one of the Kudus in the floor is this one. This is a Pirush HaMishnayos on Krisus. It's quoted in every day, Yesh Binyan Zen, the Kud in the floor, that even though Hanu on top of Achila is called an Isa Moisif, that's only if Hegdish is Chal on top of Behema Bechayel, because Hegdish starts off as an Isa Hanu. But Basa Becholov, Ochomets Bet Pesach, has to start off as an Isra Achila. And the Isra Achila is an Isa Chal Al Isa. So then once the Isra Achila is not Chal, then the Isa Hanu is also not Chal. Right, that's yes, your kasha. Nachon?
Rabbi, we said the Fi Tosfos is a chiddush that Ein Isser Chal Al Isser applies. That rule applies even to an Isser Aseh of Nevela.
Yeah, Ein Ezbuchem, yeah.
But from the pashtus of the Gemara, don't we see an even greater chiddush than Tosfos? Because the reason why the Mishnah listed Tevel is because it's Tevel Midrabanan, and still Rabbi Shimon saying that Ein Isser Chal Al Isser. No?
That's a good kasha. You mean if the reason for the Mishnah is Ein Isser Chal Al Isser, but if the first Isser is only the Rabbanan, how can you say it's Ein Isser Chal Al Isser? I mean, with the Rabbanan, we act as if the first Isser prevents the second Isser from being Chal. Yeah. That's it. The Rambam paskens like the Mishnah, even though he doesn't accept Reb Shimon's opinion. The Rambam says it's no good because Mitzvah Bo Ba'Avera. So then the Mishnah says, Mitzvah Bab Aver applies even if the whole Aver was only the Rabbanan. Tevel Tovim and the Rabbanan. But according to the simple reading of the Gemara, the whole Mishnah is only if you hold like Reb Shimon. Ein Isser Chal Al Isser, even Ayidei Koilo. And the second Isser is not Chal. So how can you say that the Isser Chometz is not Chal on top of the Isser on top of
Tevel Midrabanan?
The Tevel Midrabanan, I mean, we make believe Midrabanan as if this Issa prevents the second Issa from being Chal. We treat it as if it were Ein Issa Chal Issa. It can really be. We act as if, we treat it as if it would be Ein Issa Chal Issa. Yeah. Yeah, but still, Midrabanan. Okay, Midrabanan has an Issa Tevel, so Tevel has a Lois Essay. Yeah, but this Issa Essay, that's also a Chiddush. Called the Tikkun Rabbanan came, the Rashi Tikkun said, Tevel the Rabbanan has a lois esem in the Rabbanan. We're acting as if it has the law of Tevel. But to say by Ein Ezvucha in the first place is only an Iser Esay. So that's what the Prima Gaon points out, that that's very questionable, whether that's true. Not all the Rishonim agree. Yeah, some Rishonim disagree. That an Iser Esay is not enough to prevent the second Iser from being Chal. By Tevel Midrabanan, we're making believe Midrabanan as if there is an Issa Tevel. So the Issa Tevel has a lav. But here, if there's only an Issa Esay, so there are Rishonim hold, an Issa Chal Al Issa doesn't apply if the old Issa, the whole first Issa was only an Issa Esay.
Rabbi, we mentioned in a previous shiur how Kohanim really shouldn't be living in Chutz Laaretz.
Yes, yes. You happen to be a Kohen?
Ani Levi.
Okay. We're safe. I'm a Yisrael. Okay.
Can everybody please elaborate on why the halacha doesn't apply? Is the answer because like the community just can't handle it?
No. Rabbi Kiva Eger and Yeridei has a ha'ara on that sifon. It says, God, I'm not allowed to go to Chutz Laaretz. So he quotes one of the early Achranim, very early Achranim, Mari Kash, Abyanka Kastrel, a Spartish. He says that the Ravid's opinion is that if Kohanim are all Tmei Mesim anyway, we don't have Eifa Paraduma anyway, so the Kohen is allowed to go to a funeral today. He's allowed to touch a mace. Why? He's not being Mesim Tumal Tumasa. All the Kohanim are Tmei Mesim anyway, and you're not prolonging the length of time that you're going to be tummy because we don't have Eva Parah available. So we don't follow that. We don't accept that Raivin. But when we get the Tumas Chutz La'aretz, he says, there the minig is lahakel. Since it's only a din derabanan, so we'll make a like the Shita Saravid. The difficult Shita. The Raivin is a difficult Shita. And others say the Raivid never meant to say that it's muta. The Raivid only said, you're not loike. If a coin is tummy anyway, and then he goes to a funeral, so the Raivid never said it's muta. The Raivid says, I'm chayva malchus all of haraya. So the Mefarshim say, and the Raivid himself says that. That's what the Rav Nosson Adler pointed out. That the Raivid himself writes like that in the Tmim Deim. Tmim Deim is a collection of tshuvas by the Raivid. So the Raivid writes Meferish, he disagreed with the Rambam, that the coin is Tomei. The Rambam says if he'll be Metamei himself again to another Meis, he'll be Loike. So the Raivid only disagreed on the Loike, but he didn't disagree on the Yisr. There is an Yisr to be Metamei. If there is an Yisr to be Metamei, so the Kohanim have nothing to rely on. That's the problem. But Rabbi Kivega quotes this from the Marikash, that's what they rely on. That according to the Ravid, since the Kohanim and Bismanas are all Tomei anyway, so you're not being Moshe of Tumal to Moshe because he's not prolonging his Tumas Meis because we don't have Eifer Par available anyway. So there's no Arichas, you're not being Marich the Yimei Tumah.
Could Rebbe please provide a Nafka Mina for, we said there are three examples of mitzvos that, you know, once they reach Yushalayim, their Kedusha is complete. Ikurim, Iser Sheni, Bechor. Is there like a Nafka Mina between that and if anything's not in that category?
Yeah, we're going to see. It's going to be a Taisus on the next daf. It's coming up. Yeah.
Rebbe, I asked Rebbe previously for my friend who's going to be working in, I think, Yad, coming summer, about if a person like sees someone who's autistic, whether they say the bracha Mishana Abrios. And Rebbe responded with, no, because it's not conspicuous. It's not apparent that something is, you know, not, you know, normal. If you see someone who's like 7 foot tall or someone who's a midget, okay, it's conspicuous. But if autistic, you have to like spend time with them to understand. So my friend, So my friend just wanted to know if it is conspicuous somehow. Would you say the bracha?
I don't know. I got to look in Shulchan Aruch, see what they say there. Okay, that's my homework.
Are there any after this, Avi? I'll let you go. Is Bikurim relevant midoraisa for any halachos other than, I'm sorry, that's not what I meant to say. Is Shiva Haminim, are the Shiva Haminim relevant midoraisa for any halachos other than Bikurim or, you know, Seder HaBrachos for Meiser Sheni and Bikurim?
I think there is a minority, Shiva minority opinion that all the Shivas Haminim are Chayv and Shumas HaMaisis Men HaTorah. We don't really hold like that. They hold only Dogen Tirish V'Yitza, not all the Shivas Aminim. But I think that's all. It's just relevant for Bracha Achreina. It's relevant for Bracha Achreina. Some hold that Ala Gefen, Alo Eitz, Al Piho Eitz, the Bracha Achreina on the Shivas Aminim is Daraisa. That's 2 days in Shulchan Aruch. Whether the Bracha Achreina on Shivas Aminim is Daraisa, Darabonim, yeah.
Avi, I know I just said I'd let you go. Can I just have two more questions? I realize two more. We quoted an opinion earlier in the year that, you know, haramas only work for derabanans.
We only permit harama. Harama works for derais also, but we only permit you to pull off a harama stunt on a din derabanan. Yeah.
Rebbe, isn't prosbul a type of harama? Because midoraisa, the loan should be canceled, but the prosbul circumvents this and we're dealing with a doraisa here?
Yeah, that was a special takana. The Hillel made a takana because he saw the people were violating the din of not lending. A person shouldn't say, and I don't want to lend them any money because I know Shemitah is going to come. So then you violate the law of So rather than let people violate the law, so he said, he made a takana, this harama. It is a harama, sure. He made a takana that the Shemitah shouldn't apply.
But according to those opinions that we only permitted for Dirabbanan, so here we're going to prevent an Isser, so, okay, fine, it works. And the last question is, Rebbe, do we paskin that if the Aron is facing a direction other than east, that we face the Aron while davening?
Rashi holds, they always face the Aron, even if it's not Eretz, even if it's not facing, even if you know you're not facing Eretz Yisrael. And the Pashtus is, we don't accept Rashi, we follow Taisus, that you're not supposed to face the Aron, you're supposed to face Eretz Yisrael. Mishnah Berurah talks about this. He points out the Machlokes Rashi and Taisus in the beginning of Brachos, Davov, I think, and we should follow Taisus, yeah.
Rabbi, if everyone is facing the Aron, though, so the Aron is facing north, and everyone's facing north, and really, you know, Eretz Yisrael is to the east, should we Davka, you know, reorient ourselves to, you know, face east, even though everyone else is facing the Aron?
No, a private person should not face a different direction. But you get the whole shul to face Eretz Yisrael. When we toured in Morocco a few years ago in the summertime, so we visited a shul in Casablanca, and the tour guide told us that that is the shul we were facing. We were all the tourists were sitting in the shul. And then he said, when it comes to Shemana Esrei, they all turn to the right where the doors are to enter. The doors are to the right instead of being in the back. And everybody turns to the right because that's facing Eretz Yisrael. They don't face the Aron Kodesh. They face Eretz Yisrael when they down. I remember once I was learning Gemara. So there was a musmach from the yeshiva who was a chaplain in the American army. He was stationed in Casablanca. So he told us that he davened when he was in Casablanca in the American army. They davened in a shul where the whole shul turns around when it comes to Shemana Esrei when they face Eretz Yisrael. So then when we were touring in Casablanca a few years ago, the tour guide told us this is the shul where they all turn to the right. Yeah.
Thank you, Rebbe.
Very good.
Rebbe, just to build on the idea of facing Mizrach, but in the Gluck based Medrash, since Rebbe is the Mor Da'aser and the Gluck based Medrash, and in all the Bate Midrashim in YU, we should face Mizrach?
I think so, yeah. It's a little bit. Basically, it's the same direction everybody else is in, but they tilt a little bit to the left. The whole world's gone to the right, and YU is gone to the left, because the left is Eretz Yisrael.
Okay. Yesterday, Rebbe mentioned the Darchei Moshe that he's mentioned a few times about Matzah Ashira and how you could have it on Erev Pesach.
Yes.
So for Shalosh Shudos this year, should we, Halacha L'maisa, should we be having Egg Matzah?
Yeah.
After,
yeah. So Rav Soloveitchik used to be concerned that according to the Rambam, Egg Matzah is good for the mitzvah because it only has apple cider and eggs in it. According to the Rambam, it's only called matzah shira if it has yain shem and dvash and cholov. So now they make egg matzahs that has wine in it too. So even according to the Rambam, that's yain. That's one of the four mashkim that the Rambam says is matzah shira. So matzah shira you're permitted to eat on Erev Pesach. So make sure you get the egg matzah that has the wine. Yeah.
Okay. One of my friends who's a Sephardi fellow, he told me that Chacham Ovadia has a tshuva that says that if you have only one piece of lechem on Shabbos, that you should cut it in half, so then you'll have lechem mishnah, even though you won't have shlemus. Uh-huh. Does Rebbe think that this is recommendable for Ashkenazim? Or
then Itziv writes that in has a tshuva in Eishev Dava. He says that in Balozhin, he was the Rashim Balozhin. By the time he came to the Shudis, they didn't have enough shlemus for everybody to have lechem mishnah. So the meaning would be that they would take two prusas. So he says, that makes sense. He says, if you take two prusas, but to take a shleiman, to cut it in half, to make two prusas, I don't know, maybe it's better to have the one shleiman. If you can have one yeah, that's the choice. Either one shleiman, or cut the one shleiman in half and have two prusas. I don't know. I would think it's better to have the one shleiman. For Goda Lecha Mishnah. I don't know. Got to take a look at the tshuva. Okay. Usually brings riots.
Should during Birkas Kohanim, when the Kohanim are duchening, is it a problem to look at them or to do you have to like look away?
There are charis to look at the hands, so that's why the minig is that they cover the hands with the talus, so you can't see anything anyway. Somebody once decided that I'm an apikoris, because when the Kohanim duchen, I didn't turn away because the Kohanim are covering the hands. That's exactly why you cover your hands. So then they made up a couple of guys from Eretz Yisrael and Miri Yeshiva. They're going to go watch Rav Al Yashiv to see what does he do when they duchen. The Rav Al Yashiv stayed at the Kohanim because they covered the hands. So it became Ois Apikoris because Rav Al Yashiv did it.
Is one allowed to have separate ovens? Is one allowed to not have separate ovens? To have just an oven that they use for dairy when they're cooking dairy things and meat when they're using meat things? Don't you cook meat and dairy at the same time? But the oven itself, they use for either milk or dairy, whatever they want to cook at that time.
The simple meaning of the Shulchan Aruch is that it is mutter, and Rav Moshe Feinstein has a chumrah, and he writes in a tshuva. I'm an old man, I have no craft to write tshuvas, but you tell me that people attack me, that my chumrah is against the Shulchan Aruch, I have to write a tshuva. He writes a tshuva, still against the Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch says, you just wait, let's say you were cooking flesh. So it says, you turn off the fire, and you open up the door to the oven, till it goes down to room temperature, and then you turn on the fire, and you do milchiks. You should do bizach hazem, wait till it cools down to room temperature. And then it says, mutar l'chatchila. So that's what's shvera. Moshe came up with a chumrah that you can't even use the same oven b'zeh chazeh. Shulchan Aruch says b'zeh chazeh is mutav. You wait till it cools down.
Okay. A friend of mine, a different friend, not the Sephardi friend, he told me that towards the end of Yechezkel, there are some psukim, I couldn't find them, that says that the Kohanim, that when Mashiach would come, only the Kohanim of one family would do the Avoda, and all the other Kohanim, they wouldn't do the Avoda. Does Rebbe know where I could find this, or does Rebbe know anything about this?
I think it is in Yechezkel. I think it's one of the Haftaras. Yeah. Got to take a look again? Okay.
Okay. Purim is coming up. I was told to ask my rebbeim whether or not one should drink, or one should only do the Ramah, or one shouldn't drink at all. So what does Rebbe think I should do?
Where are you going to be? You're going to be home.
I think I'm going to hopefully be in the yeshiva.
Someone told me that the lawyer, Mr. Lauer, got a clearance that they're going to give wine in the cafeteria to the students. I thought it was against the law. And that's why they thought there was a problem. Last week, the rabbein were talking about, they thought there's a legal problem. So the lawyer said, there's no legal problem. So they're going to give, those who are going to eat in the cafeteria, they're going to give them wine too.
So Ad Lo Yada or the Ramah?
You should have enough to make you drowsy and take a nap. You should have it in the morning before Chatzos, like it says in Shulchan Aruch, and then take a nap.
Okay. I heard Rebbe once gave a shir, and I thought he said that since it's a machlokas, whether or not we should say a bracha for halal on Rosh Chodesh, we should just be patered by the, we should just have the chazan say it, and then everybody else could be motzi with the chazan. Did Rebbe say this?
There is such a practice. Rebbe. Yeah, they quote Rabbi Chaim Volozhin had that practice. Yeah.
And what if, does Rebbe recommend that we should do this?
Yeah, it's a good idea.
What if we're not sure if the chazan is going to have das to be motzi everyone?
No, the chazan has a mind to function as the chazan. That's the chazan's job, to say everything out loud that he's supposed to. It's implicit in the kavana of the chazan. Even if he doesn't have that in mind explicitly, but that's implicit. That's the function of the chazan.
Okay. And this is my last question. 2 weeks ago, the parsha was Yisro. And there's a machlokas whether Yisro came to Bnei Yisrael after Matan Torah or before Matan Torah. According to the one who says that it was before Matan Torah, it says he offered olos and zvachim, and these were the korbanos for his conversion. So if that was the case, that he came before Matan Torah, was he the first Jew? Was he the first convert?
I don't know. Got to look in the Mechilta, see what it says. I don't know. It's an interesting question. And he brought his karbanos before everybody else.
Yeah.
We have the matan Torah. I don't know.
Thank you very much, Rebbe.
I don't know if his karbanos, maybe his karbanos were not for the sake of geiros. Maybe they were just karbanos to Lashem Shamayim. A non-Jew can also volunteer karbanos. Maybe it wasn't the karban ager.
I forget which commentary. One of the commentaries thought that it was a karbanos for geiros.
So maybe that's following the opinion that he came after Matan Torah. Maybe these two can't go together. I don't know. Good Ha'ara. Okay.
Thank you very much, Rebbe.
Very good. See you tomorrow. Okay.